Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Want to be one of the best brewers there is.
I stopped dressing all in plastic.
You better be brewing 5 to 6 times a week.
A beer, every beer, is made with love, and it begs to be appreciated.
I need something to kill the salmonella I'm kind of worried about in the eggs.
Do you find that that the hops kind of clash with the chicken embryo you put in there?
I might sleep here tonight.
It's a California king. There's plenty of room for both of us, Beavis.
How many of the brewers over there have seen your ass?
That's it. Someone's getting cut tonight.
All I have to say is, hey, McDonald, how you doing?
Now, live from the Brewing Network Studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to The Session. A lot to do today, a lot planned. A very strange vibe in the studio today. Tasty's bitching about everything.
Everything.
Never heard Tasty like this before.
Don't even get me started on everything, man.
Comes in here, I say, hi, Tasty. Don't get me started on Tasty.
You guys aren't letting me sleep.
And hi, that's another thing.
Keep me out all night.
No, this is seemingly simple things, and he was even getting down on Shat.
Well.
I mean, Shat brought home a full keg of beer from Triple Rock. What does Tasty say?
You only got one? You're going to have to go brew more. You get more kegs in here.
Times are tough.
Man, Tasty. You all right, buddy?
Yeah. Like I say, I'm sleep deprived.
Yeah?
Why don't you go over there and punch Schumann in the balls and get it out now?
Yeah. That's another weird thing going on around here. So Schumann was given this bonsai tree for his dad's death.
For Dad Death Day.
Probably. Yeah, for Dad Death Day. He's got a bonsai tree. I guess it's supposed to, I don't know.
Hey, John Palmer gave
apparently it's supposed to insult you like his dad used to do. So he likes his tree a lot, you know.
Yeah.
He's out there talking to it all the time. And
when are you coming home, tree?
Yeah.
I have another show.
You ever going to finish teaching me to play guitar, tree? Shit like that. So he's always out there like singing its songs and petting it, trims it, you know.
My wings have a dove.
So we come home the other night, I think it was Thursday night, and she was all drunk and emotional.
Uh-oh, it's all emo.
He wants to go out and hang out with his tree. And he can't find it. Can't find his tree. Comes in here, comes into me. Have you seen my tree, man? Have you seen my bonsai tree? What the hell could have happened to it? It doesn't walk. So
just like his dad.
Doesn't go to the movies.
But sure enough, the tree is nowhere to be found. So
just like his dad.
So I go out there looking around, and I discover that the tree has been planted. Somebody planted the tree. It used to sit on our little picnic table out in the backyard there, and now it's been planted. So I assume my mother is kind of nutty, and she's been planting everything. Like, everything. Planted my dad. Just plant stuff all over the place. So I figure, all right, maybe she thought she'd do Schumann a favor and plant this tree. I call her, and she didn't plant the tree. She proceeds to tell me she would never do that. She knows what the tree means to Schumann.
How dare you? I would never do that.
And she knows that you can't take a bonsai tree and just put it in regular dirt. It needs bonsai dirt.
Special dirt.
Japanese dirt.
So she didn't do it. So I assume, all right, well, so maybe Chad knocked it off the table. He broke it. He planted it. He doesn't know better. Call Chad. Chad doesn't know what I'm talking about. Chad calls one of his crazy bitches because we're like, all right, no one else has been here. Who the hell else? Crazy bitch didn't do it.
Maybe I should call the other one.
Call the other
one. Yeah, you only called one, right?
Just one.
So
it's funny, he has several.
So to make the long story short, nobody knows what the hell happened to this tree and how it got planted. But the pot is nowhere to be found. Nobody who's been to the house or lives at the house or is around the house touched the tree. It just somehow ended up planted. So there's a lot of weird stuff going around here. Tasty's angry, which is just weird. And Schumann's tree itself.
Man.
Schumann's a little crazy lately also. And he thinks that his dad is effing with him and planted the tree. He thinks his dead dad came up from hell and planted his tree.
Maybe Schumann blacked out and did it himself.
That's what I thought. I thought of that.
Why does he have to be blacked out?
So
it's really not nice.
I don't know, man. Just weird stuff happening.
That's weird, man.
Yeah.
That's like the door closing when there's no one around. Let's call TAPS.
Isn't it weird?
The ghost hunters.
Either somebody's lying or just something weird's happening at the Rat Pad.
And why would you lie about that? Oh, yeah, right. I did it. Sorry.
Right.
I don't think it's, you know, yeah, it's sentimental value, but, you know, come on. Why?
I mean, if you
keep up the charade?
If you broke it and threw it away, then you might lie, right? Because that's a dick thing to do. But you were trying to save it. If you plant, like, whoever did it, whatever happened to it, you know. But I don't know what happened to this tree. Nobody knows. I don't know what happened to Tasty, and I don't know what happened to this tree. You know.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
That's a good story. Yeah, Schumann was all on fire, too. Did you fuck with my tree? What are you talking about, man?
He's very upset.
Everyone who came through the door, they were getting the third degree.
Is it still in the ground?
It's still in the ground.
Didn't it get dug back up and put back? Oh, wait.
I told him, I said, you got to go get a new pot.
And the pot's gone, too.
The pot's gone. And there's no sign of dirt on the ground, like where it fell onto the patio. Nothing.
It self-planted itself.
There's no footsteps of the tree walking from the table to the place that it was planted.
Here's the pot right here. It's the B.N. Raffle Man.
It's the new...
Mom planted it to make the B.N. Raffle Man.
We do have a more beer donation giveaway tonight.
Kind of looks like Schumann's dead.
Nice.
Raffling off the Jameel Style Immersion Chiller. Tasty's a big fan of that.
Yeah, that's a great piece.
Tasty, he uses two of them at the same time.
Yeah.
That's how much he likes it.
Yeah.
So if you donated $5 or any increment thereof, you got names in the hat. Or if you're a recurring donator, you're already in there too. So thank you to all of you who do that. We'll find out who our winner is a little later in today's program. Today's show is the Growing Hops show. We've done these before, but we got a great guest with us today. We're going to be speaking to Allie Hamm, who's a CSU grad student. She's running I think it's an organic hops program, right?
Yep, organic hops.
She's doing it there in Colorado for CSU, and it's all funded by the New Belgium Brewing Company. So we're going to talk to Allie about her project, and we're also going to be speaking to Katie Wallace, who's from New Belgium. She's the sustainability specialist at New Belgium, a job that JP had applied for, but for some reason...
Oh, he can't sustain.
Because I had showered that day. That's why they didn't give it to me.
Is that what it is? Poor Katie's going to have to deal with JP's snide comments
JP,
all day.
Your beard looks very...
What did you do? Oh, I didn't even. I try not to look at you when you come in here.
I woke up one morning. And
it
was gone.
You look less like a terrorist.
Why did you trim that?
Look is weird.
Because I was threatening to throw up on him across the table.
You were?
I see that you left the
awful
the,
mustache.
The mustache. Yeah. Though.
Well, I was kind of looking at it, and like some hairs were longer than others, and it was kind of looking weird.
That's what I liked about it.
So I was going to trim the sides down just a little bit, you know. So I'm kind of doing one side, like, oh, okay, and I was going to leave the chin part alone, and then. I don't know, I was talking to my cat or something like that. And on the other side, I kind of just went too close. And this tuft of hair goes right in front of me and falls in the sink. And it was just all lopsided. So I said, F it. And I just took it off.
You do look a lot more respectable, but I don't like that look for you.
Yeah. Well, you were keeping me down, I think. What was happening.
Just holding you down.
Yeah.
I really didn't even notice.
Now I know how Terrence feels whenever he's around you.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like having an extra light in the room.
Speaking of Terrence the Black, we were out last night, me, Shat, and Tasty, for we went to a friend's, two birthday parties, a friend's birthday party at Linden Street, and then we went to Jay Brooks' birthday party at the Toronado. I did a blog with some video posts about that from the Toronado, but while we were out, someone comes up to me, Terrence, and says, come on, that Terrence the Black story with the weed isn't true. You got, it was a bit, right? And I'm going, man, you give us way too much credit. You could not invent a story like that. But he didn't believe that that your weed story was really was a real story. I thought we made it up. And I'm just like, no, man. I'm telling you. Right down to the part where Terrence is like, no, officer. I was playing Neil Diamond, and the next thing I knew, I was sitting next to weed. All of it was true. And thought that was funny, though, that they thought we made it. I'm like, you give us way too much credit, man. We're not that good.
I was on my way to my tennis lesson, and
yeah,
Neil Diamond was going, and I just didn't understand.
No, officer. Well, I had just gotten done with badminton practice, and I went back to my office, and there it was.
Hops,
sitting on my desk.
I just got back from planting my friend's bonsai tree. And,
yeah. Yeah. No, I can't make that stuff up.
Nope.
All right, what else we got happening today? Don't forget that next week there's no show. I'm going to the Kona Beer Festival, which is exciting for me.
for me?
For me. No, I've been wanting to go to this festival for a couple years. It's a big beer festival on the Big Island there, and a lot of our West Coast breweries go to it. So I'm going to go. I'm going to bring you guys back lots of footage and interviews, some video. I'll be blogging the whole week on the BN Army blog. You can check it out. I'll try to bring as much home to you as I can. But we don't get back until Monday morning, so there'll be no show. So, Doc, you've got next Sunday off.
Nice.
You can go and score some points with the old lady.
Good.
You know? I don't know what how you'd do that. Bring her...
Play darts or something.
Bring her something Jewish.
I don't know.
I don't even know.
He's tried it all.
He's tried it, and it never works.
No, it some doesn't. Does. Yeah. I told her last time we were off, about a couple days in.
Yeah.
You could have given me more notice. Okay.
It's still just not good enough.
Just show her the deposit slip from your paycheck. She'll,
she's the one that deposits it.
We'll have to get her a BN Army.
You'd think that would be enough.
Get it something.
Now she's like, well, yeah. If you're going to tell me just a week in advance, you might as well go do something else.
It's not quite that way.
So you'll have a whole list of chores I'm sure you'll have to do next Sunday since there's no show.
Yeah, there'll be something.
Doc hates it when there's no show.
Damn it.
You should see the look on his face when we tell him. So next week's an off week.
Oh.
Oh.
Great.
I have to... I guess I better go fix that bridge.
Something.
I've been building.
That I've been burning for the last 20 years.
Not that bridge.
Oh, okay.
Did you and Schumann ever finish that bridge you were building, that double-decker Golden Gate that's going on your property?
No.
No?
No, I broke my foot, so.
Oh. Oh, there's that.
So, yeah, that didn't happen.
Yeah, but that's better now, though.
A little setback.
But then the rains came, and, you know.
Other projects.
First the earth cooled.
Then the warm blew over.
Okay. So, yeah, we're going to do that raffle tonight. We have these raffles going on every month now, so if you sign up as a recurring member, don't forget, you're automatically in. Even if you sign up for only $2, sometimes tickets are as much as $10.
Even in the days we're not here?
Well, we just do one a month, and it always lasts for 1 week. So
what if we're not here?
For a whole month?
No, it's on that week we're not here.
Then we don't have the raffle that week.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know what our next... I got to figure out what our next raffle is.
How do you figure something else, like, how do you figure that out?
I just decide. I just think about what people want, and then I go to more beer, and I say, people want that.
I say Cobra Taps with that new flexible tubing. That stuff's the bomb.
Yeah?
That new flex tubing that's replacing that
the bomb?
Silicone.
Really?
It's great.
It's the bomb.
1996 called.
But it's the bomb.
This is a girl who's wearing an 80s dress.
What's this Bebo thing there?
Whatever. I bought this like 2 days ago.
Are you expecting?
Wow.
Had to do it. Sorry.
I hope you guys have a nice night.
I think you look lovely, Bebo.
Yeah.
Where did you get the dress? At Ross? I hit the nail on the head, didn't I?
It's plenty. You're not to say goodwill.
Marshall's?
You didn't know.
No. Oh. Where?
Bum. I'm not telling you. You guys can all suck it.
Lady bum on the street corner.
Oh.
Pulling up my dress.
Belinda Carlisle.
We would all... The conversation would be going entirely different if you weren't wearing the shirt underneath the dress. Then we'd all be saying positive things.
Yes.
But it's that whole cover-up thing you're doing this week. So that's what everybody's angry about. Even Tasty's angry.
Yes.
Maybe that's what set him off.
That's what set
another
him off.
Another thing.
He comes in.
Another thing.
Hey,
how about those titties?
By the way, where's my cleavage?
Yes, sir.
Part of Tasty's contract.
Yeah.
It's in his rider.
It's part of his cock track, too.
Okay. What else do I need to announce? AHA membership's available through the store. Help us help you. We get a little cut of your membership, plus you get a great magazine and discounts all over the place. BN shirts, hoodies, hats, all in the store. Got some new stuff coming in next week, so if your size isn't there, it'll be here, I think, in a week. Don't forget to sign up for our Twitter account. It's twitter.com/brewingnetwork. Given a lot of updates lately on there, and it's the way to find out about things first. I shot a little video, some live streaming video of Shat's Brew Day yesterday. And the only way you would have found out about that is if you were on our Twitter. It sent a message out. You can go watch it right there. Shat was just getting ready to knock out. And
play by play. You had my process down.
Yeah, I did. I was like, did you just finish mashing? He's like, the boil's done, dude. The chiller's all in there. I still didn't realize he was... No, yeah.
Should have woke up earlier.
Yeah. That would have been a waste of time. So, yeah. Find out about things like that by signing at twitter.com/brewingnetwork. And, of course, you can go to our Facebook. Do that, and you get all sorts of albums. Shat put up, like, 10 new picture albums on there in the last week or so. So there's all sorts of photos, and you can connect with other people on Facebook. Bebo's on there. Someone asked for your picture this week. I saw they were posting. Is there any pictures of Bevo here? I think that's the main reason people sign up for the pages of ours that have pictures, just to find out if there's any Bevo shots, any Beve cams.
Hopefully I'm not wearing this dress.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about that later.
Let's take a picture of that and send it to him. He'll be so disappointed he'll unsubscribe.
Sorry I asked.
Poor Bevo.
You're such an asshole. I hate you.
All right. I think that's it for me. Shat.
This is working.
What's happening? With you?
Well, we've got a big competition coming up. World Cup of Beer. On the 14th, the beers are due. So that's next Saturday. You can mail those in to Oak Barrel in Berkeley. Go to worldcupofbeer.com. And this is also an MCAP qualifier. So that's a big competition that this will qualify you for if you win a gold. And definitely get those beers in. There's great judging. And they give you a lot of good feedback. And we'll be there hanging out on the 4th.
The 4th.
Have all of you entered that? Doc, are you in the World Cup this year? Did you throw beers into that one?
Not yet.
No? Tasty?
Oh, yeah, till Saturday.
Yeah. I'll have three or four.
JP, are you going to enter this one?
I don't think I have anything worth entering this year.
I see.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you do get good feedback. Great judges there, like Shat had mentioned. So if you're looking for a good competition to go to, it's the World Cup.
Good party. It's on the 4th of April, too. That's the
finals. At Trumer.
Yeah, they'll have beer. You know, they do all the judging in the morning. Tons of great prizes, too. So definitely be there for that one.
There'll be chairs and tables. Stuff like that.
Bunch of dudes.
A couple rallies coming up on the 21st. Stone, they're having a rally, AHA rally down there in Escondido. Check that out. And also at Upland Brewing in Indiana, Bloomington. Moon River's going to be on the show coming up this later in the month on the 22nd. That should be really cool. Those guys, they're a lot of fun. And Homebrew Comp entries are also due for the NHC. That's the last day for that is April 8th. They're starting to take those entries on the 25th. At certain regions, is that how it works, Tasty? Or certain regions have to get them in, or it's all open between 25th and the 4th,
yeah,
or the 8th.
It's the same dates for everybody.
Okay, cool.
All regions.
That's pretty much it.
Okay. Thank you, Shat.
The always prepared Chad.
I'm getting word from Bebo that Boo Boo Kitty Fuck of the Brewing Network is in the lead for Homebrewer of the Year.
No, not him. Oh. The link I sent you from him. He's telling us that it's a BNer, or it says the Brewing Network, and it's some guy. I don't know. Just X out of there.
Let's see who.
Man, you were so excited to announce that.
He'll get excited again.
Jump the gun.
No, it's my beer take.
Scott Offslager of Upstate New York Homebrewers Association he's the reigning New York State homebrewer of... Well, that's last year's, it's saying. I don't see a list of who this year's is. Don't send me incomplete links. Tell Boo Boo Kitty Fuck to do his research before he sends you things.
He said it is him. Never mind. Just kidding.
Well, then congratulations to Boo Boo for being the...
For doing something. I don't know. For confusing everybody.
For confusing Bevo thoroughly.
No, it says Tom and Jake Octuk. I don't know how to say that. The Brewing Network. I don't know why you weren't able to get that.
I don't know either.
Click on the link.
Rockmonic. Hmm.
You should work on that.
I did click on the link, though. Well, Tom and Jake Oak, I think it is, of the Brewing Network. There you go. In the lead for New York State Homebrew of the Year.
Good
Very nice.
That.
Very nice. All right.
Civil Union.
I do believe I've got a little bit of feedback here.
Oh, my God.
You've got mail.
Kick ass.
Don't forget that you send your feedback to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com. And people are still confused about whether or not they can ask us questions in the feedback. And you certainly can. That's the main reason it's here, is to, if you've got, you know, something in your brew process, it's the only part of the show where you can just ask random off-topic things about how your brewing is going. So send that all to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com. Here's a little thanks we got from a person named Chase. He said, I just want to say thanks to you guys and all that you do. I'm a longtime listener of the show and have found it very inspiring over the past few years as I've worked to open my own brewery in Oklahoma City. I'm a home brewer turned pro. As of today, my beer is up for sale in Oklahoma, and it's a dream come true.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, congratulations. Wow. Says, the topic, guests, and your ability to keep it real... We do that, I guess. Has been awesome. I'll be looking for you guys this year at the GABF as I attend as a producer, not a consumer. It can be really easy to joke about beer in Oklahoma, but to see the bar float a keg of my 10% ABV Belgian Strong is proof that people want better beer all over the country. Keep up the good work. That's from Chase. He is of Co-op Aleworks, or Coop Aleworks. I don't know how he wants that pronounced. Congratulations, brother.
Wow, it's nice they let him make a 10% nice Belgian beer.
Yeah. Oklahoma, I guess there's a letter rip.
Like that. Here we go. Hey, guys, and Bevo. I tried brewing about 2 years ago with no luck. Since then, I've been listening to your show, and I want to try again. Could you recommend a good book for a beginner like me that is starting from scratch? And he also asked, hey, Juicy, what kind of dog hair do you recommend I add to my beer? I have a boxer. Will that work?
That'll work fine.
Okay, yeah. Boxer.
Not too much, just a little.
Doc, a book recommendation for a guy who wants to start from scratch?
How to Brew by John Palmer.
Yeah, I think that's everybody's recommendation, right?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, you can get a signed copy of How to Brew by John Palmer through the Brewing Network store, but you can get a regular copy from anywhere, and it is the best, JP, you agree, the best resource to start?
Oh, yeah, very, very definitely.
It's A to Z, and he gives you the very simple instructions, but if you want to be more comprehensive and dive right in, he'll also give you the scientific explanation for every part of the process. So, How to Brew by John Palmer. Get the latest edition, and it's all you need to brew. You won't need to buy another book until you're ready to buy Jamil's recipe book or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be the next one.
Yeah.
But it'll keep you going for a while. I mean, literally, you could brew for a year or two with How to Brew before you got in anything else, so check that out. All right, here you go. Question for Doc. Doc, I know you probably heard this question many times. In fact, I've even heard it on the BN a few times. But the difference between my issue and the others I've heard is that I actually took gravity numbers. So here he goes. I have a strong Scotch ale, 12 days ago, starting gravity 1095. I checked it yesterday, and it's at 1042, with activity almost non-existent. This is the first big beer I've ever brewed. I followed Jamil's yeast pitching rate calculator to determine that I needed 3 vials of White Labs Edinburgh ale yeast since I brewed on a whim without the time to make a starter. There was significant fermentation activity for 3 days, but lagged to start for 48 hours. If I was to take 2 more vials and make a large starter and pour it in at high Krausen, would it do me any good? Is it okay to transfer it off the flocculated yeast, re-oxygenate, and pitch another starter?
Okay.
Let me think about all that.
Well, the first part when he said it didn't start anything for 48 hours, I wouldn't worry about that because you dump the yeast into that much sugar. they know it, and they have to replicate enough of them to get enough yeast to get going. So that can take a little while. The fact that it's starting to wane, that can happen too. Just because it's not really bubbling doesn't mean there's nothing happening. But if it's that high of a gravity still, I get a little concerned about it. All malt beers are tough too. I had emailed him already too about it, and it wasn't all grain. It wasn't extract. Extract, you're kind of a crapshoot sometimes because it might be not very fermentable stuff. But that's still pretty high terminal gravity.
Okay.
I wouldn't rack it I would leave all the yeast that's in there. I would pitch a big healthy starter again, and I would even oxygenate it just because it's either that or dump it.
Yeah, that's so what he's asking. He wants to save it.
So. I would risk the cardboard flavors by oxygenating it at a later time rather than just drinking a real sweet beer that's not going to do it anything.
Well, there's a lot of fermentation left in this beer, so it might even eat that up, that oxygen up and not have
it. It probably will. They'll probably just eat the oxygen first, and I would pitch another big, healthy starter in there. Oxygenate, at the same time, stir all the other yeast up in there, and I'd go for that.
Okay.
He might be able to pull it off. It's not going to be, you know, a 10-15 beer or anything, but... get it down in the low 20s, maybe.
Did you mention he may want to raise the temperature a little bit just to kind of wake things up, or is it already pretty high?
He said it was, I remember he said it was fairly steady. If it wasn't steady, it should be. If you're going up and down with the temperature, that can make them stall.
Right.
Even a few degrees, 5 degrees up and down, they don't like that, so that can make them stall. So as we've said a lot around here, fermentation temperatures key and a steady state is unless you want to purposely make it ramp up,
but
or
then
down.
Up usually never back down that you install it. Yeah.
So to try to save that one, I would pitch another big healthy yeast, browse it with some oxygen, get everything churned up in there, and hope for the best.
Okay. All right. Here's another question, fellas. I need help to figure out an oxidation problem. Got my first off flavor on my last batch. Says the only two things I can think of that I did differently are. That I dry hopped, which is not new, but this time I gently rolled the carboy once a day for about a week to make the hops settle to the bottom. I thought I heard Tasty suggest this on a recent show. The carboy was a little too full up, and when I first swirled it, the yeast must have roused and I got some new fermentation. Krausen pushed up through the rubber stopper and airlock. There was fluid in the airlock the entire time, though, but I wonder if air got back in. It was in secondary. 22 days.
I wouldn't worry about it at all because there's a blanket of CO2 over it that is heavier than air.
Okay.
So you're swirling around or splashing it around. There's still CO2 in the carboy. It's not good. The air's not going to get to it.
All right.
That's why when I rack to something else, I always fill the carboy, fill the corny with CO2 first. It'll sit down in there and then rack on top. You can splash all you want. It's only going to be splashing around in CO2. It'll be fine.
Right. All right. So the second part he said was different then is this is my first partial mash. I mash with about 3 quarts of water for 1.5 pounds of malt, then poured the mash through a colander and into the kettle. I did this twice to include a sparge. Would that little liquid falling through the air have caused hot side aeration?
You won't see, hot side aeration you're going to see later on down the road, too. Yeah. He could be tasting over-sparged. Tannins, possibly, and mistaking that for off flavored cardboard kind of flavors. You can get more of an astringent kind of thing. So if he oversparged his mini mash, being this new, he could get some grainy, tanniny, husky things going on.
How do you oversparge? What would that
be? Too much water running through the grains. Mm. You just it just strips too much of it out of there.
Okay, so just did it for too long. You should have stopped sooner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Too much
possible there. Okay. And then P.S. tell JP to shave that shit off his face. He looks like Castro, for Christ's sakes. Which I guess you've already done.
So eat
it. Yeah. Eat it hard.
Eat something like that.
I almost kept him, put him in a bag, bring him to the show.
That would have been awesome. We could have raffled those off next month. I don't know what we're going to be raffling yet. So
I thought about it, but it's too late.
We also could have filmed it, JP. That would have been good. You're not really thinking.
Hey, a couple weeks ago, I did leave you a message about that. Saying I would definitely do it on the air. Actually,
on the air.
2-3 months ago, we talked about it, too. But
I didn't want you to do it, as I think the thing.
Well, then,
I mean,
I don't
like that you guys are all starting to assume that your life belongs to you again. Your life belongs to the BN. And when you
aware of that.
Drastic changes, you need to get it on the air or on video somehow. Like these things are... important,
I don't know.
Take Shat, for example.
Yeah.
He stopped inviting Crazy Bitch over because he's tired of having to talk about it.
I doubt that very highly.
I just got a text message from my friends that are visiting in town.
Mm-hmm. Phone should be off.
He says, I told him he can text. He said, he says, we're listening here in San Francisco. He says, can't you just get some yeast from your girl?
Oh.
And I go, well, yeah, you can, but that's called a clambic.
Yeah. And it never tastes good either.
Yeah. Oh, there was some brewer lady that was making her own yeast and brewing with it. Yeah.
Went out of business.
I don't know.
I did have a last bit of feedback. I didn't, for some reason, I didn't print it out, but I remember what it was, and it was about Bevo Brewing. And basically, the listener was suggesting that here you are wanting to brew. He says that your husband apparently is a douche and is either drunk or passed out most of the time, so it could be a nice outlet for you.
I don't complain about that, actually.
Yeah. And so he thought, you know, it's kind of ridiculous that we're not showing you how to brew. Any comments on that, Bevo? Yes, you do have comments. You could use the microphone.
Oh, no. Oh. I thought you said and he comments on that.
Oh, any comments on that? On
I think I've already said that I hate you guys. So, I mean, I think we're...
That's just tonight.
We're good today.
I think, you know, Shat was just brewing yesterday, as a matter of fact. And did it cross your mind, Shat, to invite Bevo for her long-awaited brew day?
I mentioned something last week.
He did.
I think she's fed up with me.
now you're done.
I have a life.
You're done with the whole thing.
The world doesn't revolve around Chad.
I see.
It's true.
It almost does, though. Kind of the same size.
Chad is the size of the world.
I don't know. Ouch.
The sun. Bitch.
He does have a lot
the
of
world
gravity.
Revolves around.
Yeah. No, I'm sure we'll do it eventually. I said do it. But
now you're not that interested anymore.
Not today.
I'll wait till the summer. I like to be right. warm when I do it.
Well, he doesn't wear pants in the summer, so.
It's okay. I won't wear a shirt.
All right.
Oh, you okay. Perfect. You guys will match. Just balance that day.
July is good for me.
To make a nice brew day out of that for everybody.
You know, it feels like the summertime.
Twitter this.
Why don't you guys, you know.
It's a nice day outside now.
Yeah. All right. Cheer up, Bevo.
Or I'll just wear this dress.
That'd be perfect.
Then you'll scare the yeast away.
It's a good brewery dress. All right, we got a lot to do today. Tasty, are you going to be ready for this show we got?
I am absolutely ready, man.
I hate microphones.
Yeah, and let me tell you something else. This microphone sucks.
Yeah. You know, I hate my ears right now. Don't get me started on hearing things or giving advice.
Man. Going to grow your own hops this year, Tasty?
Don't even get me started on the year.
Yes, I'm going to try it one more time.
I hate years.
All right.
It didn't work out for you?
Never does.
Yeah, mine grew, but I didn't get too many of them, and then I never harvested them. Yeah. And
mine are great. Mine already come back up.
They're just ornamental for you?
Yeah.
We're getting more rhizomes at the end of March.
Oh, yeah?
We have a pre-sale of more beer now.
What kind you got? What kind you got?
I don't know. There's like 11 different varieties we're getting.
Selection.
And you can buy them right now in pre-sale?
You can buy them right now in pre-sale.
Mm-hmm. Where do you get your rhizomes from?
Hop Union.
Oh, okay.
From Ralph.
Yeah.
Old Ralphie.
Ralph's Roots.
Ralphie May.
Ralph's Roots.
And so I have, Centennial and Chinook, and I'm going to, get two more, and I don't know which ones to really get.
Oh, you're going to do?
Yeah.
You?
I'm sorry. Chinook, I didn't mean to talk about myself. I apologize. Oh. Yeah.
Nobody's listening anyway.
I know. Trust me, Doc. I'm still trying to come to terms with that, but it's hard to do.
Chad, are you going to grow hops this year?
I think I'm going to try.
Okay.
Hopefully get some points.
Try to grow a beard, too.
Yeah. Yes. Maybe.
See about that. All right. Well, that's
the only one in the room
today.
Without one.
No, seriously, we'll give it a shot.
Yeah, this warm weather makes me want to get out there and grow.
We're going to be talking to Allie Hamm, who's a CSU grad student running a project for New Belgium out of CSU out there, growing organic hops. So we're going to talk to her about that, and she's going to teach us how to grow hops also. Oh. There's a lot to it, so stick around, 888-401-BEER, or join Bevo in the chat room. You can ask questions. It's The Session. We'll be right back.
Listening to the Brewcasters. The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Hey, Push, the new brewery's looking good.
Thanks, Finn. Piece by piece.
Well, let's fire her up. Whoa! Is that a new kettle?
Yeah, just got it brand new, but paid half price.
What? And that blade scale?
40% off.
The new tap handle?
$5 instead of $13. Got a new regulator for the brew stand, too, but $5 instead of $25.
Dude, where are you stealing all this stuff from?
Where else? The more beer deal of the day.
Announcing the Beer, Beer, and More Beer Deal of the Day. Every day, a new fantastic deal from big items to small that will blow you away. Boil kettles, carboy carriers, sterile siphon starters, digital timers. Watch morebeer.com every day for a new deal, and you just might find the item you've been waiting for at a price you cannot believe. Hurry, because stock is limited on most items.
And that sweet Guinness cap, let me guess,
the More Beer Deal of the Day.
Yeah, I knew it. Come on, let's brew something. Find the More Beer Deal of the Day at morebeer.com. Celebrity voices impersonated.
Have you ever noticed the pathetic look on the face of the Brewcaster poster boy? That's the look of a child that survives on ramen noodles and homebrew. Subprime Meltdown doesn't even begin to describe what this kid has been through. He lives this grim existence for his army, the Brewing Network Army. Times are tough for everybody. It's like getting stuck in time 2 days before payday. Cash is tighter than a post-it IOU stuck in a stripper's sweaty G-string. The unicorn's horn is limp and the rainbow has lost its color. But you can help change all that. If you were to take that sparkling change in your pocket and plop it on the table for the BN instead of the extra pint at happy hour, then the world could be a brighter place. When you buy a round for the BN, you buy a round for yourself and your fellow soldiers. And that's what it's all about. That and being entered into the reoccurring donor monthly raffle. So step up and start your own economic stimulus package. For just a few bucks a month, you can stimulate the unicorn, the rainbow, and a brewcaster. Hit that donate button just like you'd hit on that crazy bitch at the bar right after last call. You'll be really happy about it in the morning.
Mika, listen, our lawyers said that we had to do this for 1 hour, and after this, we don't have to talk to each other for 3 more months and then to the next meeting.
Kids. Come on, let's get out of here.
I'm supposed to have more lines. I'm the professional. Hey, it's Sully.
And I'm Nico.
And we opened the 21st Amendment 9 years ago at 563 2nd Street in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park, to make great beer and have a great time doing it.
That's right, because to us, the 21st Amendment is more than just the right to make beer. It's the right to experiment, to be innovative, and just do things differently. And so now, we're putting our craft beer in cans.
That's right, cans. You can find our world-famous Heller High Watermelon Wheat Beer and Brew Free or Die IPA throughout California and Alaska.
And now it's also available on draft at select accounts in the Bay Area.
So next time you're at your local neighborhood pub or good beer store, be sure to ask for 21st Amendment in cans.
Because everyone likes it in a can.
Tasty Crack Cans.
Tasty Crack Cans.
You're listening to the Brewing Network. Because like beer, radio shouldn't suck.
That's not the dog.
Walker strikes again? Or is it JP?
I think JP's just taking advantage of Walker.
Stinking you out of the studio over there.
Look, I'm just enjoying my beer.
My eyes are like tearing up.
Oh.
It was warm. I could feel the heat in my nostrils.
Oh, JP, what the heck, man?
Oh, my God.
I had curry last night.
Oh. Gary Glass is on the line with us on that note. Gary, what's happening, my brother?
Glad to be on with you, and happy to talk about some of the legalization things that we've got going on this year.
Yeah, we got to cover that. I posted on our site about Utah and that recent legislation passing. What's that all about?
It's been about a 2-year effort to get this to happen, but pretty phenomenal. It's been 10 years since any state has legalized homebrewing.
Oh, well,
so,
I know that.
So we're super excited about it, and. It passed the House finally back on February 26th, which was basically the last hurdle it had to go through on the legislative side, and so now it's kind of waiting in this thing called the Legislative Research and General Counsel. Basically, they're just kind of formatting the bill before they send it on to the governor, and then get the governor's signature, and it goes into effect May 12th.
So what does it really mean that now they're allowed to homebrew, whereas they weren't before, or what is the exact...
Legally.
Yeah. What's the deal?
Right. Yeah. Essentially, it makes it legal to homebrew. The way that most states' alcohol regulations work is they're geared towards vigorous towards commercially produced beer, and they have regulations regarding, you know, what kind of licenses and permits and taxes you have to pay. So essentially, for, you know, in order to allow for homebrewing, you have to have an exception to those. So that's what, you know, all of the laws, the state laws that legalize homebrewing are about, is making an exception to the requirements for having a license and paying taxes to brew beer.
I see. Now, is winemaking legal in these, in a lot of these places where homebrewing is not?
No. I'm not entirely certain of all of them, but in most of the remaining states, like once the Utah bill goes into effect, there will be four remaining states, which be Alabama, Kentucky, Mississippi, and Oklahoma.
Okay.
And I don't think that, I mean, maybe one or two of those actually allows home winemaking. But for the most part, they do not.
I see.
Actually, I'm wondering about Alabama might actually have, you know, legal winemaking. I know some of the states in the past that we've gotten legalization through had allowed for wine.
Yeah, see, that's why I was asking, is that I thought I had to remember reading about a couple of these exceptions, and I just found it strange that, I mean, it's both really just fermenting a beverage. I didn't really find a difference, in essence. So I just kind of, I thought it was strange that homebrewing would have this odd exception where wine, you know, was allowed before. I guess it's not always the case, but just curious.
Yeah, you know, it's probably just a matter of, you know, the legislature, or maybe there was somebody on the legislature in one of those states that was a home winemaker and just got that exception.
Yeah.
Made for winemaking, wasn't even thinking about beer.
Right. Yeah, that could be the case, too. I think it's great that Utah, you know, a state that you would commonly consider to be, you know, pretty conservative and religious for that matter, I like it that it's a state like that that is passing this legislation to be the first in 10 years.
I think it's pretty extraordinary. You know, and I'll tell you, I testified twice before committees on behalf of this bill last year as well as this year, and it's pretty interesting experience testifying before people who, you know, not only do they not drink alcohol, they've, you know, these are for the most part the most of the legislators in Utah are Mormons, so they've never tasted alcohol.
Wow.
And you know, they basically don't even know anybody who has.
So, what is this alcohol you speak of? I do not know the sayings you are coming from Colorado territory with.
Amazing.
Yeah, you know, and actually, you can check out. I think the testimony that I gave before the Senate committee hearing is still available on the Utah government site. I'd encourage people to give that a listen just to hear some of the crazy questions they came up with.
It'd be funny.
Yes.
Does it make you sterile?
Well, maybe we'll do a reenactment here on the show. Yeah, that was.
Can you tell us a little bit about, because that's what I was curious about, if you just sort of gave a monologue or if they cross-examined you also. Does anything stick out in your mind that you had to answer?
There was a, you know, kind of a strange exchange of comments about whether or not homebrewing posed a fire hazard.
Oh, yeah.
And I really couldn't quite understand what they were getting at. And my point was that, you know, most people actually, you know, just do it on in their kitchen, so it's not really any more dangerous than, you know, making dinner.
Right.
Can it burn down thine cabin?
It finally came down to this guy was thinking that, you know, because beer is carbonated in bottles, and it has alcohol in it, that it could actually explode.
I see.
Yeah, spontaneous combustion, right?
Well, it's
right,
happened to my bottles before.
You know what? I just had a great idea for a new subset of the BN show. It's, you know, like in porno, there's like the first timers, right?
Yeah.
It's this whole series about people who have never had alcohol.
Ah, first time alcoholic.
First time alcoholic, yeah. First time you're alcohol, tasting alcohol.
Right.
It'd be a whole web series. We'll make tons of cash. Front it, would you?
Well, and was that another question that you got, Gary? You know, kind of saying, well, you know, you can buy beer at the store and you can buy alcohol. Why do you need to make it at home? Is that something you found that they felt?
You know, I didn't get that in Utah, but I know that came up with the It's come up in Alabama with the especially with the Free the Hops bill. I recall last year there was a committee hearing where they were they didn't understand why if you could buy beer that was 6% alcohol, why would you need anything? What was wrong with the beer that they already had in the state?
I believe a direct quote
I do that all the time. I go right out to dinner every night because why would I want to cook at home?
Right. Right. I bet that would have been a lot of fun, actually, testifying in front of there. Was it nerve-wracking, or did you enjoy being able to speak for beer?
You know, the first time was definitely nerve-wracking because to be honest, this whole process has been a big learning experience for me. So I had never been to a committee hearing for any state government issue. So I really had no idea what to expect. And so I was pretty nervous that first time. But
so you had to borrow a suit from somebody who might own a suit?
You had to have a few drinks first.
Those clown shoes didn't fit, did they?
I've actually got two.
Oh, you do? Okay. Gary had to trade in the hiking boots for some nice loafers.
One for the House, one for the Senate.
You know, I actually think I was wearing my boots, though.
You were?
That's okay in Utah.
Nice pinstripe suit.
You know, it snows in Salt Lake City.
That's true.
Yeah, it was dirty snow.
The early part of the year.
That's true. So it was acceptable. That's great. I wish I was there to see it, Gary. I want to see. I'm really curious about how the testifying process goes under scrutiny like that. So tell me this. Why do you think they passed it? I mean, here's it. Like you say, most of the legislators don't care about alcohol. Why did they say yes?
I think it really came down to being kind of a more of a civil liberties thing. They really couldn't come up with a good reason why it shouldn't be legal, and fortunately in Utah, it seems like they're coming to grips with the whole idea that people do drink alcohol, even if the legislators don't.
Yeah,
and it can make them money.
I think it's really become like a tourist dollar issue. It certainly has been for their governor, and so they've actually been passing a lot of alcohol related bills of late to kind of loosen up some of the crazy alcohol laws in Utah.
I like how
it didn't seem like we had a huge amount of opposition.
I like how a lot of states are struggling with the whole gay marriage thing, and Utah's just now coming to terms that
alcohol.
Some people do like drinking alcohol. It's really great. Very progressive.
I think it's because that new HBO show, Big Love, is putting them on the map now. They're under scrutiny.
What's that about?
That's that polygamy show on HBO.
I love that show.
You do?
I do. It's a great show.
It's about religion and sex. Well, I mean,
it's everything Devo is interested in. Well, what else, Gary? Utah has been passed, and you guys are back to work now in Alabama, right?
Right, yeah. I've been working with the local homebrewers, especially John Little in Alabama, and he's been kind of instrumental in drafting a bill over the past couple of years, trying to promote homebrew legalization. He's been spent a lot of time down in the state capitol talking to legislators, trying to get a sponsor. A couple of weeks ago, they had the homebrewers there. Organized a tasting for the state legislators.
Yeah,
February 24th.
Illegal homebrew.
I know. How does that? I read that, Gary, and because you've been posting the stuff in the tech doc and letting everybody know what's happening. How could they host a homebrew tasting when it's illegal?
Sounds like a trap, you know.
Well, you know, I'm not exactly sure how that works, and I think kind of the part of the idea came from the Free the Hops guys have done these kinds of receptions where they're actually giving legislators beer that from other states that's over 6% ABV.
Right.
And the homebrewers kind of tacked on to that last year, and then this year they're kind of running their own show. And so they did their own reception. I don't really quite get it, but I guess that the alcohol beverage control guys aren't about to raid an event that has a whole bunch of legislators.
They're looking the other way, you know, all the time, so why not there as well?
Well, maybe they brewed it across the border.
Brought them over, imported it.
And they imported it.
And, get them a little liquored up and get them to vote.
They actually had somebody from Alcohol Beverage Control at the
homebrew
reception.
I'd like to see him all smashed on homebrew. Well, I hope,
and they're actually going to. Unfortunately, they got 80 people to show up for that, which I thought was pretty impressive. But they were hoping for more. But apparently, the beer they served was so good that they've been invited to some tourism reception. That I guess like 75% of the legislators from Alabama are going to show up to this and. They're going to be serving homebrew with this. Wow.
At the tour. See, this is interesting to me.
Probably be a record session.
We dealt with this a little bit yesterday. Tasty and I went to Linden Street Brewing here in Oakland, and this sounds similar to me. Linden Street Brewery trying to open up in Oakland. They've been trying to open up for 2 years, and the city's just fighting them the whole way. It's been a big pain in the ass. And they still haven't received their gas still isn't turned on so that they can start brewing. Yet, the city did a tour last week, and they wanted to stop at 5 food, kind of groundbreaking food producing places in Oakland to showcase how modern Oakland is and how moving forward there. And they called Linden Street to ask them if they could put them on as one of the stops on this tour. And the guy had to go. The guy had to say. I mean, he bit his tongue, but here he is going, you got to be shitting me. You won't pass me so I can start my brewery, but you want to showcase that there's a brewery in Oakland, and you won't even give me the go-ahead? And so it sounds similar, Gary, as here they now want to put them on the Alabama tourism panel, yet it's not legal to do yet.
They like their beer.
Yeah.
See, when it works for us, then it's all fine and good, you know?
But I actually just talked to John Little earlier today, and he said that they're quite confident that they've got a sponsor for the bill now, so which is kind of the first major hurdle. So that hopefully they'll get that sponsor will get the bill before a committee.
Yeah.
So we can have a hearing, and I would be happy to fly out for that.
Sure. Of course. I hope so, too. This is the second year that we've followed the Alabama story with you. I've been reading about it for about 3 years, but we did a segment with you last year on the program, too. So, and I think it was similar. You know, you guys got the bill in front of the House in Alabama, right? But it just didn't pass. Is that what happened last year?
Yeah. I'm trying to recall what exactly happened. I don't know if we... I don't think it even got to a committee hearing.
I think it ran out of time.
Yeah, I think it. I read that it just ran out of time, and they just kind of let it die.
Okay. Well, I hope our Alabama brothers and sisters get to brew some beer without facing arrest. Yeah. It's like bootlegging right now, you know, which is fun, I guess.
Sounds like they're doing fine, though, and it would be kind of almost ruin the cool. To have it legal.
Well, they had a big contingency at the Cincinnati National Conference.
Yeah. In fact, we saw John Little there riding around on the wooden horse.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Don't show the Alabama legislators that. Yeah.
But John did ask me to mention to you, as he's been going around the legislative offices in Montgomery, rather than wearing the suit and tie that he wore throughout his career as a lawyer, he actually sported a BN Army hop grenade.
That's my man, John. Love it. It probably didn't help him much though, because it also looks like weed. They're probably going, "All right, guy, what do you want to legalize?"
See, I would have smeared myself with Trub.
I wouldn't necessarily recommend that everybody do that, but he was doing it to make a point, and he specifically pointed out that I'm wearing a T-shirt and not a suit, but that's because I'm part of this larger group of homebrewers that we're very passionate about what we do.
Right. Oh, that's beautiful. I'll have to shake his hand in NHC this year. That's awesome. Good work, John.
Yeah. It is really, I got to tell you, it's been really great working with, not only the Alabama guys, the Utah guys, Douglas Wozinski, who pretty much drafted the bill for Utah, and all the homebrewers who just have really gotten involved in the whole process. You know, at each of the committee hearings in Utah, you know, the legislators on these committees mentioned how many phone calls and emails they were getting from homebrewers. And that's really that's what made it happen, because like all the homebrewers getting involved in it, right, and you know taking a part, and that really makes a huge difference, because yeah, most of these state legislators on most issues they're not used to hearing from constituents. They might hear from lobbyists, but when they hear from voters, they definitely listen.
Right. Okay. Well, Gary, keep us up to date on what's happening in Alabama, if you would. I'll keep posting it on the website, and we'll talk about it on the shows, too. I appreciate you spending some time with us.
Yeah, absolutely. And one other legalization update in Washington.
Yeah.
There's a bill to, essentially in Washington, you can't really do anything with homebrew other than drink it at home or enter it into a competition. And so they're basically working on a bill that would allow for like homebrew club meetings to include sampling beers and they're really hoping to get the homebrewers conference up there, which is kind of how that whole ball got started rolling.
Yeah.
But that actually passed the Senate unanimously and is now going to a committee hearing in the House this coming week on Friday at 8 a.m. And that's the House Commerce and Labor Committee. So any listeners in Washington, I'd encourage you to try and make it out to Olympia for that. Because the more people in that room supporting the bill,
yeah,
the better chance it has.
Okay. Yeah, it's a good point then. Everybody get out there if you're in the Washington area. I know we got some listeners up there. So if you want to make this happen, get out there and do it. All right, Gary, I appreciate it. I guess the next time we'll see you is out here, NHC in Oakland, right?
Yeah. It's looking forward to it.
Beautiful.
June 18th through the 20th, National Homebrewers Conference.
Yeah. But don't forget, June 17th, the day before it starts, I hope I'm going to see you there, Gary. The Brewing Network's 4th Anniversary Bash is going to happen that Wednesday night from Linden Street Brewing Company. It's going to be a barbecue and a bunch of beer and some bands and a whole bunch of tricks up our sleeve, as always. So, Gary, I hope to see you out for that.
Wow, awesome.
Yeah, it'll be a big party right there in Oakland, so close to the hotel, everyone can stumble back.
That's not a yes, Gary. Are you going to be there?
You know, Gary's probably got a whole list of things.
You know, I've got a governing committee meeting all day that day, and depending on what my responsibilities are for making sure that the conference goes over as it's supposed to. Kind of hard for me to commit to anything that week, but if I can, I certainly will try.
Good answer!
A true politician. Yeah,
Gary's running for president.
Dancing with the Stars, starring Gary Glass.
We probably have a Gary Glass lookalike somewhere in the BN Army. We can maybe
switch places?
Put in a shill for you, Gary. Yeah. Then you can hang out with us all week instead.
I like that idea.
There we go.
Gary, you're very positive today.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, brother. It's good to talk to you, and thank you for the updates, my friend.
Oh, yeah, always.
Cool. Keep us up to date. We'll see you soon.
Okay.
Later, Gary.
There you go, everybody. Gary Glass of the American Homebrewers Association. You can go to beertown.org and hit the homebrew button there, and you can find out all the things you need to know about the AHA. Of course, you can join through the Brewing Network store. Just hit the store button on our homepage, sign up for memberships there, and you can become a member. And you should be coming out to that conference with us.
Oh, for sure.
If you haven't gotten your tickets for the NHC 09, you are stupid.
It's open. Reg is open now.
It's open, and it should not be missed. Doc will be there.
I'll be there.
For one, you're gonna take
the Hummer
Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday off of work that week, Doc.
Yeah, or maybe not Wednesday. Maybe not Wednesday. Maybe half a Wednesday.
Well, we got the bus tour that will be leaving. It's going to leave the Oakland Marriott at 12:30, Doc. So if you wanted to do some early appointments, you could do a half day. But you got to be on that bus.
Which are we playing that night?
And we're playing that night.
See, that's a bad combination.
Well,
which it's a typical.
You have to man up, Doc.
It's a typical BN bus tour, typical BN event. It starts real late. Everything else is leaving at like 8 o'clock. You know, the BN one, 12:30.
I don't understand what's with those people.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who the hell wants to get up and start pounding beers at 8 in the morning?
Well, I was looking at the for the Craft Brewers Conference in April. I'm going to that too, and there's the itinerary, the Boston area beer tour, 8 in the morning.
Yeah, what wrong with these people?
What's that about?
See,
that's not for adults, is it?
Scrambled eggs and beer.
We're just smart. We start late.
We're smarter than them now,
and we go late. So the bus will be leaving
that we do
12 or 12:30,
and we go to all the good places.
Going to good places. The tour is shaping up to be very nice. I only haven't posted it yet because we're working on one last stop. And as soon as I get that confirmed, then I will tell you all the stops on the tour.
Sam's house.
And then it lands Bevo's place of employment. And then it will be dropping us off at Linden Street Brewery at 7 p.m. Yeah. If you can't make the bus tour, that's okay. You're going to be able to get into that party as well at 7, where we're going to have barbecue and beer and bands and
banjo.
All sorts of good stuff.
And boobs.
And banjo and boobs. Right, Bevo?
Not hers.
She's not even talking to us at all this show
but
anymore.
Not in that dress, though. She'll be wearing something respectable.
Something respectable. All right, going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's get to the hops, everybody. Let's hop to it.
I don't get it.
I thought you said it.
Turn your mic on, Bevo.
That was worse than any of the stupid things JP said all night.
It's a session. We'll be right back.
You suck.
You're listening to the Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
What's good for the earth, good for your body, and great for your brew? Organic ingredients. This holiday season, the organic ingredient experts, Seven Bridges Co-op in awesome Santa Cruz, California, offers you the gift that keeps on giving to our planet. Sustainable, fair wage ingredients to make the best organic homebrew you've ever had. There's a growing demand for organic products, and your choice to brew with them supports organic farmers worldwide. Brew organic, and you'll brew excellent beer that is free from chemical residues and genetically modified organisms, and you'll help contribute to a better world. If you're looking for organic ingredients, Seven Bridges offers a huge selection of USDA-certified kits and raw ingredients from 8 ounces to 50-pound sacks of grain, whole and pellet hops, and all the equipment you need. Seven Bridges, the organic homebrew expert since 1997. Visit www.breworganic.com.
The Brewing Network brings together the winner of the Sam Adams Long Shot competition and the most awarded homebrewer in history to do battle in the next chapter of the Jamil Show. Can you brew it? Every episode, Jamil Zainasheff and Mike McDowell lay their reputations on the line to brew your favorite commercial beer and put their results to the test. Perfect match or perfect drain pour. Tune in for the recipes, techniques, and interviews with the pros that answer the question, can you brew it? The Jamil Show, Can You Brew It?, airs every other Monday on the Brewing Network. White Labs, your source for maltose mowing monsters, announces the White Labs Platinum lineup for 2009. Looking for out-of-the-ordinary yeast to make the best beer possible? The Platinum strains from White Labs are only available for a limited time and make your homebrew stand out. Through February, find Australian Ale, Essex Ale, and Dusseldorf Alt Yeast. March and April, it's Nottingham Ale, Abbey 4, and Mexican Lager Yeast. And May through June, don't miss Premium Bitter Ale, Belgian Wit 2, and Belgian Bastogne Ale Yeast. Keep up with all the great yeasts in the White Labs Platinum Program at whitelabs.com, where you can also join the White Labs Customer Club. Brew with the freshest and most unique yeast with the White Labs 2009 Platinum Strains. White Labs. It's all in the vial.
Mix me your 100-grain amber recipe, and I'm going to eat it. And then it can ferment in my gut. It totally works. The beer is almost identical to the grain sandwich.
Your colon won't know what hit it.
The home of live beer radio. TheBrewingNetwork.com. Because like beer, radio shouldn't suck. You're listening to
The Session.
The Brewing Network. Saving your life.
One beer at a time.
All right. JP's checked out for today's program, apparently. Missing his cues all over the place.
The hell was that? Can you do that again?
Drops off his beard and, you know?
His brain.
I think you've missed that cue for 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because 2 weeks we weren't here.
Well, that's sense. More than that.
I didn't feel like doing it.
Oh, well, okay. All right, welcome back to the program, everybody. We're going to be talking hops with Allie Hamm and also Katie Wallace, who's the sustainability specialist at New Belgium. I do believe I've got them on the line. Don't forget, you can call us 888-401-BEER if you want to ask questions yourself, or you can join Bevo in the chat room and ask questions that way. Let's see. We'll try one at a time here. Allie, have I got you on the line?
Uh-huh, I'm here.
Success with one. And Katie, are you there also?
I am. How's it going?
Amazing. How about that? Chad did it all right this week. A round of applause for Chad,
yeah,
our producer, who's gotten everybody on the phone with us. Well, welcome to the program, ladies. We're glad that you can come on here to talk to us about hops today. And let's start with you a little bit, Katie, because I need to know what the sustainability specialist at New Belgium actually is.
Sure. It's a position that's been around the brewery for about 8 years, and my job is to facilitate conversations around the latest sustainability initiatives in our industry and in the world of business, and bring those to the brewery. And also, I do a little bit of outreach and share our story with other people so that they can learn from our successes and failures.
Nice. Okay. So it doesn't have anything to do with Al Gore, does it, Katie?
You know, no, it's been going on long before he was around.
Okay.
Oh, good. Well, how did you communicate without the internet then?
Yeah, because he created that, you know. Okay, and you guys are sponsoring this program that Allie is running at CSU, is that right?
Yeah, we granted a portion of the money to fund her research there. Just because we thought it was an important thing around brewing to foster the development of organic hops, and especially that it's local here in Colorado was a big plus for us.
Okay. And Allie, what is it exactly that your research is? Do you have kind of a quick way to tell us what your project is?
It's a pretty broad focus. It's mostly just trying to get organic hops growing in Colorado off the ground and encouraging people to start growing here because they've we've been growing them for about 6 years at CSU, and they grow well. So trying to get them to start growing.
Okay. And we're going to get into some of this when we talk about the difficulty in growing hops, but what are some of the obvious difficulties that people have had growing them, you know, that your program is needed?
The biggest difficulty is the whole industry. The whole upstart cost of growing them, planting them, and processing them is costs millions of dollars on an industrial scale, so it's a really high-cost crop. It's only just a few people grow it now because it costs so much money to get off the ground. So that's been also a big hurdle in my research because I don't have any equipment either. So,
okay. I guess that would be kind of difficult to figure out how to do it. How did you get into hops there?
I wanted to study organic agriculture, and I was living in Fort Collins and had already been working in the department. So I had seen that there was a row of hops planted out, and I had just started home brewing. And I thought, well, that sounds cool. That sounds a lot neater than growing tomatoes for 2 years in the thesis research.
Sure.
And so when they CSU told me that they didn't have any money to give me, they just kind of jokingly said, well, maybe the microbrewery around the town would have some money. Fortunately, I was able to get some.
So you did that yourself? Did you go knocking down Katie's door and saying, hey, you know, I want to start this project. What do you guys think?
Pretty much. Katie actually wasn't there when I knocked on their door. Her predecessor was there at the time. And I've since when Katie took over about a year ago, I've been working with her closely ever since.
Okay. And Katie, obviously since New Belgium even has a sustainability specialist, I mean, this is something that you guys are interested in ongoing anyway, trying to figure out how to do things organic and sustainable.
Absolutely. We also actually have a director of sustainability, so there are two of us that work full-time in fostering these efforts at the brewery. So we definitely think that organic is an important part of our industry, and or at least moving towards a more sustainable agriculture. So it's been really fun to work with Ali and the Colorado Hop Farmers to boost this project.
What? Can I ask a question? I don't know too much about what does sustainability mean. I mean, to me, it just means grab another beer before you sober up.
That's good.
All right. Well, it's a word that essentially what we're saying is that we want to take care of our resources so that generations to come can enjoy the same luxuries on this planet that we have. And so just kind of taking care of our resources and keeping everything we're working with things so that we're not ruining them and increasing the chances of the future generations.
Oh, okay.
So nothing you'd be able to do, JP, because everything you touch is ruined.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. And just so you know, ladies, people in the room that will be talking to you today, that was JP. He helps out every show. And Tasty's with us. He's going to help out.
I help, yes.
You already know Chad, our producer, who contacted you. And then Doc is over here as well.
How you guys doing?
And Bevo is in our chat room taking questions.
Hi.
Katie, do you guys have any organic beers that you're doing now at New Belgium, or at least ingredients that you source that are organic?
Absolutely. We actually we have an organic wit that just won the gold at the GABF in the wit category.
Nice.
And it's called Mothership Wit.
Oh, I've had that.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It was our first organic beer, and whenever we tried to source the hops for it, the organic hops we ended up finding were in New Zealand. So it was really great timing that Ali was around and saying, hey, I would like to foster an organic hop program in Colorado. And we said, you know, organic is great, and organic and local is really the best. So, and we also are brewing a small batch of beer to celebrate the 100th anniversary of a local pub here. And we used the organic hops that we bought from another farmer this last fall. So
okay. What pub is that?
We're actually using some Colorado organic hops in brew.
What pub is celebrating its 100th out there?
It's the Town Pump. They claim to be the small bar in Colorado.
Oh, okay. I don't know that one.
Yeah, it was the first place where we poured our beer when we were little. It's right here in our hometown.
Okay. JP, he just doesn't know what to do with all this organic talk.
I don't. I'm sitting here. Yeah.
It's driving him crazy.
It's driving me nuts.
He's the only Californian in California that's not Californian in California. Doesn't know what to do with all this. So, Allie, how long have you...
Well, we actually...
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Well, I was going to tell you that we conducted a study on the footprint, the carbon footprint of a six-pack of fat tire.
Yeah.
And it was actually the third largest contributor was conventional agriculture, and most of that was due to the synthetic fertilizers. So as all of the businesses and people around the country are focusing on reducing their carbon footprint, we can do this to help our ecosystems, but it also has an impact on our planet.
I like that. I wonder, who's that, me or you?
I don't know.
I think that was my dog. I'm sorry.
Oh. What about a six pack of Sierra Nevada?
Your dog just ate the phone.
They want to play fetch.
Here,
throw
the
this
phone.
Thing.
Great. Thank you. I like that you've done the carbon footprint of a six-pack of beer. I know, JP, you think that that's ridiculous, but come on, why not? Why not get to know what toll you're taking on the environment, whether good or bad, for the goods that you produce? I like that you guys are doing that.
But what did it cost in carbon footprint for that little study on the carbon footprint?
Good question. Did you guys evaluate that as well?
It's an endless cycle.
Footprints.
We didn't print copies of it. We just have it online, so that helps.
Okay.
But what's the carbon footprint of the computer that you're looking at it on?
So you'll have to ask him.
Yeah, Katie,
I'm just messing with you.
You're either talking from the telephone inside your dog or something changed on your end. I've lost you there.
You're very faint.
I can hardly hear you.
Are you there?
Ah, there you go.
Oh.
Now you're back. All right.
Okay.
All this footprints talk reminds me of that poem, Footprints, where Jesus has carried everybody across the sand.
You think sounds like Al Gore's going to carry us into the new millennium.
Yeah, Al Gore invented the footprints poem as well, right after the internet.
He invented caring people, too.
All right. I'm sorry, Katie. We don't. We're not. Yeah. I'm not making fun of this.
Neither am I. I'm teasing a little bit. But overall, it is a good thing because we should understand what we're doing and how we're doing it, how we can make it better.
Yeah,
I firmly believe that.
Thank you. Listen to that, JP. I'm going to pull that from the archive and play it back for you 8 times a show.
I think you should.
Yeah. Now, Allie, you've just started this program, I assume. How long have you been doing this?
Actually 2 years now.
2 years.
Just ending it.
Oh, you're just ending it. I see. So
just about to finish.
Have you been able... So then, Katie, have you used some of these hops?
We've actually used some that that Allie worked with a farmer in Peonia, Colorado, and those are the ones we're using in the town Pompeo. Oh,
that's not... Okay, got
so,
it.
Yeah, so Allie worked with a farmer, and together they put on a workshop in Colorado to help other farmers get used to the idea of what are the hurdles I need to overcome, and how can I make this a profitable business, and what varieties do I use, what do brewers want, and so it was really a great pairing of the two, and we had a lot of fun working with them.
And so now that if it's coming to an end, Allie, and we're going to end up hanging up with Katie so we can really get into the program itself, and you can help us learn to grow hops too, Allie. But now if your part of the program has come to an end, what's the result? Have you gotten these farmers in Colorado to keep it going with the hops you've helped them grow?
Yeah, and actually... My master's program is coming to the end, but I'm actually returning to my old job of working on the farm anyways.
Okay.
And some new farm bill money came through, and the director of specialty crops here wants to do hops, so I actually get to keep it going, but at a lower pay,
oh,
I guess.
See, sometimes it pays to be a student.
Lower than a student?
You know?
Ouch.
Is that
but,
legal?
there are plenty of... there are plenty of farmers that are getting it going right now. They already have a few acres. They're expanding right now. The farmer, Glenn Fuller, that has sold some hops to New Belgium for the town pump beer, just is putting in 12 acres right now. So they're all expanding. So
okay,
it's going whether I'm there or not.
All right. Well, that's good, I guess. Work yourself out of a job.
New Belgium. New Belgium's been contacted by 6 or 7 other farmers who are interested or in the process of growing hops this year in Colorado. So it's really, the industry here is really blossoming. And like Ali said, there's the support of the Colorado Department of Ag with the new farm.
That's
I think that there's a ton of momentum behind it. So
good. My last question for you, Katie, is that if I can get JP to produce some organic hops in his backyard, because he's growing hops anyway,
yeah.
Would New Belgium be interested in those?
Well, maybe whenever we come to crop year 2011, we can talk about it. We're contracted until then.
Oh, so JP, yeah. You've got some time
but
to
get safe answer. I'll work on him, you know, under convention. So. It
might.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, I do water my hops with urine, so I figured.
Which is full of insecticides.
It's pretty organic. It's pretty, you know.
Pretty organic.
Yeah.
Nitrogen.
See? Nitrogen.
Okay.
We won't put that on the label. I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you can call it the town pump and really mean it.
This beer fertilized with JP.
That'll reduce your carbon footprint.
Yeah.
Considerably.
All very true. Well,
I'm sorry.
Also, though, it takes some time to, in all seriousness, JP, to get your soil back to being organic. You know, you can't
it takes
just
like 3 years, right?
Yeah, you can't just. Well, I don't know. Maybe Allie could answer that for us.
Yeah, but, 3 years.
Oh yeah.
See, JP knows it. He's a closet hippie,
yeah.
Is what he is.
I made my eyeglasses. I superheated the sand.
You did.
Yeah, it's really great. I'll show you how.
Great. Show us out, JP. All right.
Where'd you get that white tape you put in the middle?
Well, Katie, I want to thank you personally because I really like when companies like yours, and you guys are not a small company, let's face it. You're still small in the beer world, but New Belgium is one of the biggest craft breweries, and I really like that you guys are taking steps and to support programs like this. And I, too, was once a starving student as well. And
now you're a starving professional.
Now I'm a starving professional, so I will also be asking you for some sort of funding. sometime soon.
Yeah, organic. We're organic testers. Yes. So if you want to send your beer, we'll test it organically.
Right. Well, I look forward to talking to you then in the future.
Great.
All right. Leave your phone number and
that's a contract.
We'll get this all worked out.
All right. Have a great night.
Thanks, Katie. Cheers.
Bye.
Bye, Katie.
All right, Katie of New Belgium Brewing Company, thank you for joining us. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, she was fun.
And and by the way, that Mothership Wit is a good beer.
I haven't had it. I heard you guys talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
But I just haven't had a chance to have it yet.
Yeah, I like it. And, Doc, you're a Wit beer fan. Yeah. Have you had that one?
Yes, I have.
And you like it?
Oh, yes, I do.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind. That could be a future clone brew tasty. Something that
may
maybe
have some requests for that, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That'd be a good one to see happen. All right, Allie, you're left with us now. So.
You're all alone, honey.
Yeah, it's going to get ugly now.
Oh, no.
What was your background? What's your background that got you started? You mentioned briefly that you were a homebrewer.
Briefly, yeah. I got my undergraduate degree from back in California, where you guys are, at Berkeley.
Ah, and, where hippie-ism begins.
I actually was studying cancer research, and pretty quickly realize that everything gives you cancer and nothing gives you cancer at the same time. So
okay.
I started getting into plants and I moved out to Colorado where I started working the horticulture department here. And as soon as I moved to Fort Collins, like we're such a beer town. We have New Belgium Brewery. We have 6 breweries here.
Yeah.
That of course. I started home brewing in the kitchen.
Right.
And ruined the stove and everything. But
of course.
And that's just kind of tumbled down from there.
Yeah, that's much less depressing than cancer research.
Yeah,
you know, exactly.
Good,
just organic at all.
Well, depends on how you look at it. Yeah, that's a tough gig, man. I don't think I could do that. And I think it's a good summary that you give. Everything gives you cancer. Everything doesn't give you cancer.
So I grew plants.
So I moved on to Pot's cousin. I'm going to grow hops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. So you graduated from here, and then you go there as a grad student, and you get into the horticulture program. And you find that there's a niche that people need to grow some more hops out there in Colorado. So maybe we can start with this, and this will help us figure out how we can grow them. Am I correct in saying that hops are very regional, and maybe that's why it's difficult just to start growing them anywhere?
Regional in the sense they can't grow everywhere?
No, the climate issue.
Yeah, just climate. I mean, well, I guess I could simplify it by saying, why wasn't there just a whole bunch of hop farmers in Colorado already, since there's breweries there?
A lot of that has to do with marketing because of the huge equipment cost.
Okay.
Is why equipment. It's a general trend of all agriculture today. Is that the statistic is that there's 37 hop farmers in the United States. And we're close to Germany being in the largest hop producing nation. Germany has hundreds and hundreds of hop farmers. The average size of the farm there is about 30 acres, where our average size is about 450 acres. So there's just a few people controlling a lot of acreage.
Yeah. So it's tough to break into because of that.
Right, and the hops used to be grown all over the nation. It was a huge production up in upstate New York, Midwest, everywhere. Pretty much everybody was a home brewer back then, so everybody brought their hops with them. And that just all consolidated as soon as they found out that up in the Pacific Northwest is a pretty pristine climate with low incidence of diseases. So that just really took off there.
Okay.
The more humid climates, hops just really don't like humidity that much, so the more humid climates kind of suffers.
Okay. Is that the main climate restriction, is just humidity? Is it not necessarily heat or cold or other things as well?
It depends. Also, we have so many great new varieties today that are bred with such phenomenal disease resistance that you can almost grow hops anywhere.
Okay.
It depends on the variety.
So what did you find that was grow best in Colorado, and what'd you find that didn't?
The best two by far are Cascade and Chinook. Actually, even better than that is a variety called Red Vine that is one of those old ancient varieties that nobody's used since probably pre-prohibition, and nobody really knows about, and that we don't even really know the brewing qualities of it. I'm really interested to see. But those three are the best here. And Cascade and Chinook notoriously do well everywhere.
Okay.
Cascade's kind of the organic hop. So for me, those have been the best.
All right. And you're from our area, California. At least that's where you went to school. So what about in this region? What grows well here?
Probably, I don't know. California is the paradise of agriculture. You guys can grow everything over there.
It's paradise in general.
Yeah, well, actually, don't you have a friend down the street in Orinda, right? We're not too far from Orinda, and you have a friend growing hops there.
Yeah, Mikey Cruz. I'm a friend from college. I thought that he was going into wine growing, but he said that he can only make wine one time a year, and once we crossed over to the beer side, I guess.
Nice.
And he's going to put in some few plants in Orinda, and he's going to put in Cascade and Chinook.
Okay.
Good call.
Yeah, we're just on the wrong side of the tracks from Orinda.
Not me.
Yeah, not Doc. I shouldn't say we.
I'm in Moraga.
I'm in Moraga.
Yeah. Well, that's right by Orinda.
We look down on Orinda, is what he said.
My driver is from Pacheco, but I'm in Moraga.
Don't look. Allie, aren't we better? We're out of Moraga.
No, what I'm saying is that Orinda and Moraga are right next to each other, so it's really similar.
Oh, I don't miss the Bay Area.
You don't miss the Bay Area, really? It's too snooty?
You got to wear shoes.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. She came from Berkeley to Fort Collins. I can't imagine. It's too much of a stretch. Maybe the rain, but that's about it, right?
Less Asians.
Less Asians in Fort Collins.
I think is probably the main difference.
Okay. No diversity here.
So,
bunch of Joe and Teds.
For our listeners who do live in humid climates, is there anything that will grow well in those climates?
If you look at any hop variety, always try to pick the newest variety, and any variety descriptions will tell if it's resistant to the fungal diseases. So always pick the resistant ones.
What about?
And there's other things. Sorry?
I said, what about those poor bastards in Florida?
Yeah. Super humidity.
I don't even know how they homebrew. How do they chill it down?
Yeah, talk about fungal varieties. Probably get a lot of fungus going on in Florida.
So there's nothing, no variety you could recommend that would flourish in Florida?
I would, from talking the last 2 years to growers, I'd say Cascade is kind of the tried and true.
Okay.
Always going to work.
That'll
kind
grow
of
anywhere.
Always going to taste good, always going to sell kind of hop. Kind of the gold standard. So at least try that. Don't ever try Hollertau or Tettnanger, all these old German varieties that don't even do well in Germany anymore. So.
Oh, okay. And why is that? Have they just become too susceptible to disease and things like that?
Like
they're,
you.
They're impure.
Exactly.
That is what it is. Okay.
They're pretty much the wild hops that were growing in Germany, and people just started, when they started brewing with hops, they would just go out into the wild and pick them and bring them back in. Then people started taking them and putting them in their gardens, and then they started growing them, so they've never been through a breeding program, per se. And
okay.
Then once, they just pretty much got out-competed by classic Darwinism.
I think that's the only thing in Germany that hasn't been put through a breeding program.
Yeah. JP's 31. He's never been through a breeding program either. Poor bastard.
I have my application into a few people.
You do?
Yeah, I'll let you know in a couple days.
Yeah, I'd like to know how that evaluation process goes. If you could let us know.
Yeah. Too bad Facebook requires a picture.
Yeah. Okay, how about something basic? And then I would like to talk about the whole process of planting and also doing it organic, if you can help us with that. But when is the time to plant? JP has just told us that rhizomes are coming out real soon. When is the ideal time to start planting our own hops?
Any time that you put out early spring peas, the general rule. They can tolerate a frost. And especially if you put mulch over, if you just cover it with dead leaves or grass clippings, it will even kind of bury them, protect them, and keep them warmer longer.
Okay.
But if you're in California, plant now. Actually, on the Western Slope, Colorado, they planted last week, so now is really the time. They might stay dormant for a little bit longer in the ground, but
That's okay. They're really, really hardy.
Okay.
It's really hard to mess it up.
So would it take some pretty intense, you know, freezing? Would it take a couple of weeks of freezing if some, you know, well, Chad and I have family in Connecticut, and if they planted now, there still might be another couple weeks of really frozen soil. Would that kill if they did that?
If they've already, if the rhizomes have broken dormancy, then yeah. But if you're getting rhizomes, most rhizomes come from the Pacific Northwest, so they're coming out right now. Mm-hmm. Everybody's ordering them on the internet, and I found that it's much better to put them in the ground as soon as you get them than to store them in a fridge. So if everybody in the Northwest is digging up the rhizomes right now and selling them on the internet, mm-hmm. they're in a fridge from now until when you put in the ground, and it's much better to have them in the ground.
Okay.
If, as long as your soil isn't completely frozen, you can't dig a hole.
Right.
You're in Antarctica. Well, yeah. Here we go, Cascade. Let's do it.
I've built my trellis. It's time to go.
Yeah.
So when do you urinate on it?
That's a good question, Zach.
The first penguin
just
leaves.
Just to melt the soil.
Yeah, just to melt the soil.
And another trade secret, too, is that to stuff more than one rhizome in the hole when you plant.
Two rhizomes,
put up
one hole.
In there.
Oh, say that once more time. I'm sorry, Allie.
If put at least up to six rhizomes in, and when you plant per hill, so that you'll hedge your bets that you'll get something that grows.
Ah, okay.
If you put in one, in case it dies, you know you have five others to back it up.
I see. So if you put in six and they all started sprouting, would you let them grow a while before you decided which one you wanted to keep?
Yeah, it's almost like you just kind of. Cheating ahead a year.
The octomom.
No matter how big or how old your plant is, you're only going to train up a certain number of vines anyways and cut back the rest. So
okay.
You want to have as big root stock as you can.
Got it.
Most people, you know, it's hard to think about below the soil, but with hops, you really need to think below the soil.
That's a good tip.
Yeah. Size matters.
Yes. Your root ball matters.
Yes, tasty.
What if your soil's really bad, clay, kind of crappy stuff, and you know, you can dig out so much and put in some nice soil, but how far down would you say you really need to give it good soil before the roots start having problems?
To China.
China's good?
Yeah, just give it to China.
I mean, or will it take over and be okay if you put in, you know, a couple of feet or whatever of nice loamy soil, and then the rest is crap like we have around here?
Yeah, good question.
Well, yeah, and here in Colorado we have hard clay. Really,
that's what we have here, too.
Hard
here.
Clay. And the roots grow 12 feet deep at least.
Oh.
Whoa.
So, They're hardy. They can break through almost anything I've found.
Okay.
And they're notorious. They can do well in pretty bad soils. They're not going to do great. You're not going to have a, you know, obviously, the better the soil, the more cones you'll get. But they'll probably still survive.
That's where all that inorganic fertilizer comes in, right?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
It'll help them grow.
Yeah.
Right. Just for 1 year, and then the next 3 years, you don't do that.
Right. You got to remember that these plants live 20, 50 years. That
it's
you
longer
want to start
than me.
Dosing them with chemicals, it's a long process to get it back healthy again.
I pretty much share my backyard with a refinery. Am I out for organic hop growth, do you think?
If someone's got to come over and bless the soil organic.
Yeah. The government will never. Probably. I don't know.
All right, I'll have to look into that.
No, the carbon in the air, that's organic. I mean, it's
from
it's
fossil fuels.
It's toxic, but organic.
Okay.
Yeah, yes.
It's from it's fossil fuels.
You didn't put it there.
Yeah.
Now, Chad, you're going to grow hops this year. Did you have a question?
I will.
You will.
I will.
Okay. Thanks, everyone.
He's going to have lots.
Well, as soon as I finish waking up, I'll
no,
have
you
one.
Know what? I do. Actually, okay. You know, you're talking about clay and you're talking about good soil. I mean, the clay, is it just going to retain water and you don't want that? I mean, what's the deal with the soil and having a nice mixture a couple feet down? Is it more drainage, or is it you're looking for something specific in the soil?
It is more drainage. You never want to have pooling water at your hops, because that will just
breed fungus and just wreak havoc. So you never want to have anywhere. That's why they usually mound them up in hills, so they'll drain off the side of the hill.
Okay.
If you do it, we have clay soil, and it does retain more water, so we have to water less. Where up in Washington, they have very sandy soil, and they have to water more because it just seeps right through.
Okay.
So if a bonsai
ever,
tree...
Never, ever, ever have standing water at the base, or
the
whole thing will rot.
Yeah, good tip. A lot of hard work, and then you get the rotten mildewy stuff.
Yeah.
If a bonsai tree does really well in the soil, would a hop vine work?
It's a good question.
A bonsai hop?
Well, we have a mystery bonsai tree that has been planted in the soil, and we don't know if it's going to die yet.
We don't even know how it got planted.
So, as a horticulture specialist...
don't ask me. I've killed, I think, 3 bonsais.
Great.
Yeah, you probably planted them in that
serial killer.
Perfect.
Do you shout Tora, Tora, Tora when you do it? Or
okay, before we're going to take a break soon. Before we do that, since we're on the topic of soil, what kind of things do we want to do to treat our soil? What kind of fertilizers? You know, we're talking about, you're saying that things are very resilient, but I'm sure that they need a certain nutrient content in the soil. So how can we treat it?
One of the best ways is to treat with compost.
Okay.
Compost is pretty widely available anywhere. Nursery stores, anywhere sells compost nowadays. And that it's a real good, sustainable, slow release of nutrients. Mm. Also, hops tend to need a lot more micronutrients. They tend to need a lot more zinc and boron. So you might need to add a little bit more zinc and boron. But any kind of nutrient that you need, you can get at a local nursery store. It's not like a specific, a secret farmer blend. It's pretty much, it's a regular garden plant that does need quite a bit of nutrients. And the nice thing about hops is that once it's a little bit nutrient starved, it'll show it right away, and it'll let you know. Mm-hmm. It'll just turn yellow and start dropping leaves all over the place. So it's like a little pesky child.
Sounds like my garden, yes.
Okay.
Or Chad.
Or, yeah, some plants you can't tell, and all of a sudden it's dead. Hops, it'll let you know.
All right. And our listeners are asking, I had a couple questions coming through from them. What about fertilizer if we wanted it to be all organic? Is there a specific thing we have to do then? Can we just buy the bag that says organic?
Yeah, compost. Any compost is organic.
Okay.
Especially home brewers. I'm actually working on my compost pile right now. One of the best things is spent grain, spent hops, spent yeast is really great in compost piles. Leaves. You just mix that together, put your runnings on top of that, mix it every once in a while, keep it a little bit moist, and spread that on top of your hops, and you're done.
Really?
It's just... Yeah, and that's the full circle right there.
Okay. Also,
easy and it's pretty. It's and you have a low carbon footprint
and all of that.
All of
crap.
That. All right. Of that too.
Big feet.
When do you put the
but
patchouli
everybody loves
oil in?
Free. So
yeah. And I have heard that bat shit is supposed to be like a great fertilizer for
it's
hops.
It's called guano.
Guano, yeah.
Whatever. I hate it when people come up with fancy names for shit. It's bad
it's courtesy.
Shit.
It's special shit.
I see. Is that right that
guano.
Is supposed to be one of the best fertilizers for hops?
It is a good one. They have different forms of high nitrogen and high phosphorus, but... yeah, it is a good one, but I haven't used it. I heard it could get pretty expensive.
Yeah.
Too. You got to pay somebody
and
to go
at least
in
Colorado,
there and
we have
bats.
So many cows here. That you,
right.
What about JP guano?
Yeah, is JP guano any good? He wants to know.
Are you certified?
I'm certifiable.
Did I ever tell you guys about the time that Schumann guanoed on my favorite tree? Well, I had this tree... I'm sorry, Allie. You're going to have to bear with me.
The fact that you have
a
favorite tree.
Well, I don't anymore.
Oh,
I had
soiled.
I had a very nice tree, and it was in a pot. It wasn't in the ground. It was in like a big clay pot. And I took care of this tree night and day. I talked to the tree. I named the tree.
What was the tree's name?
Rudolph was the tree's name. And I went away. I went away for 6 weeks, and I asked Schumann, my roommate,
to fertilize it?
And friend. No, I asked him to take care of the tree.
Were you specific?
I was specific. I said, this tree is very important to me. Could you please? I told him how often to water, all of this stuff. Well, Schumann thought it would be funny if a couple of days before I came home, he guanoed
he squatted
in the pot of my tree, which was, by the way, just out on the back patio for God and everybody to see whenever he did this. So that was his joke. He did that, and it backfired a little bit, probably more on me, because the day that he came home, my dog found the guano on the tree and
ate it.
Ate it.
Ugh.
And so here I come home later that day. My dog is so happy to see me. It jumps on me. It's licking my face all over the place. And Schumann is just standing in the background laughing and talking about how sorry he is. I still don't know what's happened. And he tells me later, we didn't speak for a little while. And the tree has since passed on. So I'm saying that not all guano is good for plants, JP.
You have your chance to get
him
back.
The dog hadn't eaten it.
If you hurry up, you have your chance to get it back.
It is his bonsai tree that's now in the yard.
Why was this tree very important to you?
I liked it. I liked it a lot.
He was into plants for a while.
I was into plants for a little while.
All right.
Yeah. I still like plants. I kill them often, and then I get depressed.
That's just it. You name it.
You kill the ones
you don't
love
name
sometimes.
It and then kill it. You just don't.
Yeah, well
I think that was his intention.
I didn't kill it.
Life.
If you think about it, I didn't kill it.
Okay, it died, and you're still upset.
I'm upset that it got guanoed on.
Every year I light a candle for Rudolph.
Okay, going back on topic, I have a question from the chat. Is this fish emulsion a good hop fertilizer?
Fist emulsion?
Shut up, JP.
Fish.
Yeah, actually, I use that out on the farm because of it. That is a fertilizer.
Where do you get that?
From fish.
You can get that in nursery.
Yeah, it's in the fertilizer bin. It's over there.
Okay.
It's a little, it's one of those you want to buy in bulk as big as you can because it gets a little pricey.
Okay.
Now, it's great stuff.
Are we shooting for a specific range of pH in the soil? Or is it, you want something just a little acidic in soil? I mean, what's...
They usually do like slightly acidic, usually anywhere between 6.5 and 8. Over here in Colorado, we have about 7.5 and 8. It's pretty basic. And the rule about soil pH is that the lower pH, so the more acidic it is, the more release of micronutrients you'll get. So high pH with basic soils, they kind of lock in the nutrients and don't let the plant have any of them, and then it'll start getting deficiencies. So even though you might get a soil test and it will say you have gold standard of nutrients, but you have a pH of 8, the plant's not going to get those nutrients.
Okay.
But you can cheat around that. I mean, you're acidic, right?
Yeah.
You can add dilute vinegar. Your last runnings of your mash is a little acidic. You can acidify your soil pretty easily.
Your last runnings of the day?
Chad, if you plant hops this year,
yes.
I'm gonna pee all over them.
Don't like it.
It's
might
nitrogen
like it.
Too.
Yeah.
Hey, and Chad, just watering your hops, man. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Not on the cones.
Right.
Yeah, not on the cones.
You have to pay someone a high price to water on the cones.
And every time you get upset with me for doing it, I'm gonna say, Allie told me I could do this, and it would be fine.
Right on your cones.
Yes.
Oh, Colorado State probably won't like that.
Yeah, they might not. All right, Allie, I have to take a quick break. Can you hang in there? All right, we're going to take a quick break, take care of some sponsors. When we come back, we're still going to talk with Allie about a lot of more things so that you can grow hops at home. We're going to talk about what pests and diseases we have to worry about. We're going to talk a little bit about trellising and how best to grow our hops upward. All of that and more. 888-401-BEER is our number if you want to call and ask questions, or just join the Beeve in the chat room and she'll hand them over to me. All right, hang in there. Allie Hamm on the line with us talking hops. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters. The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network. Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. Cut hours off your brewing sessions by using one of their 11 varieties of famous Williams malt extract. Their Williams German Pils is mashed with pure German Moravian two-row barley malt for a light blonde color and malty Christmas you just can't get from other extracts. Or check out their unique fermenters, draft beer equipment, bottling aids, and more. They even have their own line of precision hydrometers. Go to williamsbrewing.com to browse their vast selection and enter promo code BREW at the order checkout for $5 off your next order over $50. Orders placed by 3 p.m. ship the same day. Again, go to williamsbrewing.com and enter promo code BREW at checkout for $5 off your next order. Brewing is easy the Williams way.
Attention homebrew shop owners at Fermentap. They know you're tired of buying the same old gear that everyone else has. That's why Fermentap offers the newest and most cutting-edge brewing equipment known to man. Since 1998, Fermentap has been leading the fight against the boring and mundane by offering strange, unique, and just plain smart equipment. Like their stainless-domed false bottoms. Never deal with the floating plastic hassle of other false bottoms again. And since they're made from stainless steel, they'll last a lifetime. Fermentap's line of copper wort chillers are the best on the market, designed to cool your wort faster and more efficiently than other immersion chillers. They actually invented the equipment to make these chillers not only work great, but look great too. How about a fantastic line of ingredients, including vanilla beans, sorghum extract, blue agave extract, hop bitterness extract, unique wine yeasts, green coffee beans, sake kits, all stuff you can't find anywhere else. Fermentap carries all the standard products and equipment you need as well, such as all grain systems, stainless hardware, kettles, carbonation stones, you name it, they've got it. Fermentap's entire line of products has been helping retail shops meet the demands of their customers for nearly 10 years, and they want to help you too. For more information, see them on the web at fermentap.com or call Jason at 1-800-942-2750. Fermentap, better beer through innovation.
Have you ever noticed the pathetic look on the face of the Brewcaster poster boy? That's the look of a child that survives on ramen noodles and homebrew. Subprime Meltdown doesn't even begin to describe what this kid has been through. He lives this grim existence for his army, the Brewing Network Army. Times are tough for everybody. It's like getting stuck in time 2 days before payday. Cash is tighter than a post-it IOU stuck in a stripper's sweaty G-string. The unicorn's horn is limp and the rainbow has lost its color. But you can help change all that. If you were to take that sparkling change in your pocket and plop it on the table for the BN instead of that extra pint at happy hour, then the world could be a brighter place. When you buy a round for the BN, you buy a round for yourself and your fellow soldiers. And that's what it's all about. That and being entered into the reoccurring donor monthly raffle. So step up and start your own economic stimulus package. For just a few bucks a month, you can stimulate the unicorn, the rainbow, and a brewcaster. Hit that donate button just like you'd hit on that crazy bitch at the bar right after last call. You'll be really happy about it in the morning.
Wait till you can pour it out of your own kegerator.
Yeah. I mean, your friends will look at you with awe.
And it's just hot.
It is?
It's so super hot.
The home of live beer radio.
Brewingnetwork.com. Because like beer,
radio shouldn't suck. You're listening to The Session. Keeping the ass out of Brewcast. This is the Brewing Network.
Hey, All right, welcome back to the program. You're tuned into The Session. We're talking to Allie Hamm. She's a CSU grad student teaching us how to grow our own hops. Thanks for being with us today, Allie. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, so we've got some more things to cover here. We've already gotten through soil and different varieties that we could plant. You can call and ask questions if you want, 888-401-BEER. I've got questions in front of me from the chat room. Just hit the chat now button on the homepage if you want to join Bevo in there and send your questions that way. I'll make sure I get all of these out there.
Hey, Allie, Allie, we have a question that we ask all our guests. Is, what are you drinking?
Uh-huh. I am drinking Odell 5-Barrel right now.
Oh, I've never had that one. I've had some Odell beer before, but never the five barrel. Yeah, what kind of beer is that?
It's a good one. It's just their standard pale ale. It's really good. Okay. I just hooked up my kegerator yesterday.
So. Oh, good for you.
Nice. I haven't left since, have you?
No reason to go to the bars.
I brought my couch over to it.
Did you make beer donations from New Belgium part of your grant proposal?
You know, it's funny, and Odell's actually part funded this program too.
Okay, great.
That every time that I go over and have a meeting with them, I come home with a case of beer.
They force you. They just force you to take that beer. Don't
So you have a lot of meetings.
What's that?
You have a lot of meetings. Schedule,
hey, guys, this is Allie again. Look, we need to have another meeting. I'm thirsty. I have a lot of paperwork for you to fill out.
Yeah.
I mean, ask me how many times I've met with my actual advisor and how many times I've met with the brewery.
Oh, yeah. I bet there's a huge difference there.
It's all gathering data.
Yes, of course. You had to... You have to make a lot of pee if you're going to be planting all those hops. You need to drink more beer. All right. So we've covered what to do with the soil. What about getting the rest of the area ready to grow? Hops have to grow high and tall, right?
They do. They can grow up to 30 feet. And, again, depending on the variety, they usually don't produce any cones below 5 feet.
Okay.
So they need to be at least 6 feet tall.
So I wouldn't be able to pick them then.
Yeah, Doc, you're out, buddy.
Yeah. Can you guys work on like a culturing a like a dwarf
a dwarf hop?
For an upside like, down
like, Doc hop.
Yeah. Help out.
Cheaper, just give me a ladder.
Have you tried those Doc hops?
And then China, the syndrome is that they have about a 6 foot tall trellis, but then they run wires and a grid work across the top and grow all the hops horizontally.
Yeah.
And then all the sidearms with all of the cones fall down, and the people, it's all handpicked there.
All right.
And they just go through, and they can just reach up and pick up off of the ceiling.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that, actually. You know, does it affect the growth any to do it horizontally like that? It doesn't change the production or anything?
It does a little bit. They want to always grow up vertically.
Okay. So the horizontal.
They need to grow vertically, yeah, to produce cones. They really need to grow vertically. But
less
the way
sustainability.
They grow is there's one single vine that comes up, and there's a lot of side shoots that come out. These could be up to 4 feet long, the side shoots. That's where the cones are produced.
Okay.
So those are meant horizontally, as long as there's enough vertical growth.
Now, for anybody that's planting these, I've heard they're very difficult to get rid of if you really want to get rid of them.
Yeah, even Roundup the work.
So really? Be prepared.
Is that part of because the roots go so low, you can't just, like, you know, chop them down and then they won't come back?
Right. It's like trying to remove a tree almost at that point. But the difference is that they die back below the soil each year. So all of the above ground part dies back and goes dead and dormant, and you cut it off. And below the soil, they store up, like kind of like potatoes. They store up all their reserves.
Okay.
And then they'll grow back up here. So the ground is like they're safe down there. You can't really get rid of them.
So it's like having a kid. You better be willing to like take care of it for a while.
It's a long-term commitment.
You cut it back and lock it in the closet, and it stores up its energy.
Yeah.
And then when you open the door, boom, it bolts for the window, right? Is that what you're talking about, Doc?
It's just like that. Okay. So... Can you tell us about how to, you know, build a proper trellis? So do we have to build this 30-foot tall, structure?
No.
Okay.
No. Pretty much, that's the thing. People overcomplicate hops, I feel.
Okay.
And, you know, homebrewers are pretty complicated people sometimes, too. So I've seen homebrewers.
They're yeah. pretty simple
build
sometimes, too.
Build elaborate trellises in the backyard.
Yeah.
You can, basically, hops grow up anything with a small enough diameter. They used to grow them on old tree trunks.
Okay.
So those are pretty thick diameter. But they anywhere that you can hang a string down that will grow up at least 6 feet tall.
So the side of your house, possibly, or...
run it. A lot of people just nail it onto the roof and run a string down to the bottom and grow it up that. A lattice work. A lot of people put it like those really pretty lattice arches.
So they're not like some vines that'll just climb on the wall. They have to have something to attach to.
Right. They're technically called bine, B-I-N-E, because they don't have the little hooked hair tendril like grapes do. So they just wrap around something, and they have like, they're pretty sticky, so they'll stick to a string. So the coarser the string, the better. If you have like a kind of a coarse twine, like a hemp twine, that's the best.
The crappy brown stuff?
they'll grow up wire, too.
Yeah. So. Okay.
So, like, I have some really old rotten lattice, not this, nice archway, but so my hops grow up that up to my fence.
Okay.
And then I have a string nailed to the top of my fence to my roof. So they kind of go up and then shoot over to,
like
over
a
to the roof,
and
it works well. I can pick them.
Okay.
You're pitching a tent?
Yeah, perfect.
I'm pitching a tent.
Now, do they just, do they grow around the twine or something automatically, or do you have to go out there and wrap it around the twine or whatever you're using?
Yeah, that's a good question.
You do. You anchor the twine down right at the crown where they're going to start growing up.
Okay.
So if it's close enough, they will find their own way up. Usually it takes about 2 revolutions for them to start growing on their own, and they always grow clockwise.
Well, okay.
But one of the big, in the large farms, one of the big production times is you have to go around and train them. So you have to go around and kind of wrap them and coax them around.
Yeah, see, I grew them a couple years ago, I think my hops were retarded. Because I would go out there every 2 days and wrap it around the thing. I'd come out the next day and it'd be jumping and hanging off the side. It would never figure out to go up the thing.
You're going counterclockwise, maybe.
Is it windy?
Oh, maybe I was going counterclockwise.
Did you fertilize it for you? That could be its problem.
In New Zealand, do they go anti-clockwise?
Good question.
Oh, yeah.
Very good question.
I think
time goes backwards.
I've never confirmed that.
Nobody has. It's one of the world's mysteries. Like, how did Schumann's bonsai tree get planted in the backyard, and do hops grow backwards in New Zealand? These things will never be solved.
It's just best left unsolved.
Now, what about placement? Are you looking for a place that's, you know, direct sunlight all the time, not too much shade? What are you looking for when you're placing these trellises?
Yeah, as much sunlight as you can. They need at least 15 hours of sunlight in the summer. They really need more like 18.
Wow.
Why they have to grow between the 55th and 35th latitudes.
Justin doesn't even see that much sunlight.
No. I don't. And that kind of raises another question, if it's in the direct sunlight too, is that it could be 105 degrees where we live here. So is that still okay to be in the... Is it still all right in the direct sunlight then? It's not too hot?
Some varieties, the general rule is that aroma varieties are more sensitive to heat. So the lower alpha varieties, say like Willamette or Fuggles, those, or any of the German or European varieties, Hallertau, they're not going to tolerate that kind of heat. But the high bittering varieties, we get almost close to 100 here sometimes. And again, Cascade and Chinook and the newer American varieties that are bred for high heat, because up in Yakima, they get up to 105 sometimes. So those ones will do fine in heat.
Okay. Here's another question. This is from one of our listeners about the vines. What he's asking is if the vines that aren't trained, should we cut them? So is that to say that you've trained it around this, your twine or something, and then you've got a bunch of just kind of hanging off? Is that what he means by untrained ones, guys? I'm trying to...
Probably.
Yeah? So should we cut off anything that's not just going straight up the
you'll
twine?
You'll have a few come out of the ground that's,
just kind of spread along the ground.
And the older the hop, the more binds, the more send up. They look like little asparagus in the spring, and you can get tons of them. But you really only want to put at least about 2 to 3 per string. Maybe usually don't put up more than 6 binds per plant. So you pick the 6 best, you stand those up, every other one you cut back. And they'll keep growing, and they'll grow this huge, massive bush. And you still want to try to cut it back because of the fungal diseases. Anywhere you have massive plant matter, it gets humid, and then the fungal, it's a bad area to start diseases. So
okay. That's
why you usually cut them back. And in New Zealand, they use sheep. They have the sheep come around.
Yeah, they do.
And they just eat all the foliage on the bottom and does the job for them.
Water.
Yeah, so we should, cut off all the leaves and everything for that first 5 foot of vine.
Just cut the vines off at the soil.
Yeah,
right. I understand that. But then of this one that you're keeping and that you're growing, since Allie said, all right, you hops don't even grow below the 5 feet mark, should we chop off all leaves and everything on that first 5 foot of vine?
I don't think so.
Not until it's been growing for a while.
Yeah, that's when they get their energy, right?
Allie.
If you live in a humid area that has fungal diseases, like in Colorado, we're so high and dry, we don't have any here. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen any on hops here, I should say. But the rule of thumb is to prune 2 to 3 feet above the soil.
Okay.
And that's leaves and all. And the vines get pretty thick, about an inch diameter.
So you want them
so
like
what they do up in Northwest is that they just spray herbicide all over and do it that way, or you can have sheep.
Sounds easier.
Or you can just do it by hand.
That's the JP method.
Yeah,
I bought a gallon of herbicide. I just poured 1 gallon on each plant.
Why am I drunk?
Because you have to be to do something that retarded.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I gotta go.
When I grew my hops, I used all organic insecticide, which is basically soap.
Why they're retarded.
And how'd that work for you?
Yeah, well,
I don't see them growing.
I grew great hops, actually. I just never harvested them. I just left them up there.
So they still grow.
They looked so nice.
And where are they now?
Well, I never did my soil. I never did anything to them after that.
Hop heavy.
Never watered it. Nothing. After that first year, I just let them die.
Yay, I grew hops. Yeah.
I was happy. I succeeded. I didn't harvest them. I was like, I don't want to put myself through that disappointment again.
I'm done.
Yeah.
I wonder if you water him again, if he'll grow.
You had a kid. He's retarded. I'm done.
Done.
That didn't
work. I'm not doing that again.
Yeah. Maybe they're just really happy.
What a waste. Yeah.
We're growing.
Okay. how much do we have to water these? You did talk about having no standing water, but I seem to recall having to water those little bastards a lot.
Yeah, especially the first year.
Too, okay.
While they're growing.
You gotta feed them, gotta water them.
Quite a bit.
Is the watering the same throughout the growth, or is it more at the beginning just to get them started? Is it more at when they're flowering, that kind of thing? Or is it just constant? Pretty much a lot throughout.
It also depends on, you know, how much rain you get, what time of the year too.
It's California. We don't get any. It just ends in April and we get none. So,
so the first year you're going to say?
First year they do because they're growing and there's young roots that need quite a bit of water. And then after that, they do tend to need a lot of water mid to end of July when they're starting to flower.
Okay.
Even though they don't show it, they're using a lot of energy to produce all those flowers, and they'll take up quite a bit of water and nutrients.
Okay.
But
Is there a rule of thumb with how much, like a gallon a day? Is there something, you know, that we could go by?
Unfortunately not, because it all depends on your soil, how sandy, clay your soil is, your humidity, your temperature. There's so many variables. Just as long as you don't
have pooling,
overwater them to the point you have damp soil at the bottom, you'll be fine.
Okay.
What's the best method? I mean, do you like a drip method, or do you have sprinklers on these? I mean, what's the best method?
definitely never do sprinklers because you don't want to have any water onto the actual leaves and the vines themselves.
Oh,
okay. Because that's where diseases really come.
Okay.
If you have wet foliage, then fungal diseases can breed really, really well there. So the ideal way is to always do drip, and it'll go directly into the roots, and none of it will be evaporated into the soil. And
so,
you can use a lot less water that way.
Okay. So if Chat uses that little pink watering can that I got him...
the flowers on it?
With the one with the flowers. That's the one, yeah. Okay. If he uses that, it'd probably be just fine, right?
That's fine, yeah.
He prances from flower to flower.
You see? Chad, you think I don't do you any favors? You think I'm not trying to help a brother out?
Good looking out.
Yeah, see? That's good. You're going to do just fine with your little pink out there.
That's fine. And
go ahead.
For homebrewers out there, I remember it was on the cover of one of the Northern Brewer catalogs recently that they have, if you're chilling down your wort and you have a counterflow chiller, just point the hose towards your hop.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good incentive. Well, you got to water your hops, start brewing.
That'd be great, Chad. We got that mud pit in our backyard right now from all the water just goes right into the middle
brewing
of the yard.
Too much beer.
It's going to be a hop field.
And you live on a hill, too.
Sounds like we need to hire strippers to come in after you guys brew and wrestle.
I think so. That'd be a nice idea. Uh-huh. Or we could just wrestle, you know.
Well, I didn't want to say it, but yeah. I shaved.
Okay, so you mentioned that moisture on the leaves and things is a breeding ground for disease and
it's
stuff.
It's a bad thing.
Can we start talking about diseases and pests and things like that? What do we have to look for?
Children.
Look out for, I guess. Tell us where to start.
Chad needs to know.
Number one on diseases is fungal diseases. Powdery mildew is a big one. That's pretty common on most garden plants. Powdery mildew that infects hops, though, is...
No, you're going to have to say that again. I lost you there for a minute.
Sorry. The powdery mildew that infects hops isn't the same exact powdery mildew that infects other plants. So, for example, I had weeds growing up my hops that had powdery mildew all over them. They're just like, they look like they got sprinkled with powdered sugar.
Okay.
Kind of like little white fuzzy colonies. But the hops are fine because they don't transmit, you know?
Oh, okay.
So, if you're living in a region like Colorado, we haven't seen any powdery mildew here yet on hops. So, if you're living in a region that has grown hops before, if you're in Oregon, then you definitely need to watch out for that.
Yeah. Now, if we get that, if we notice it, is it too late at that point, or what can we do?
No, and the way that fungal diseases work, it's just this little organism, this little colony, white fuzzy colony, or black if it's downy mildew, that it just grows and spreads and reproduces, and it'll produce spores, like pollen, that's blown through the air. The spore will stick onto another plant, start growing and, you know, spreading. It's like a little, just a horrible infestation. But if you can cut that off, you can just pretty much take off that leaf and
that's
burn
what I was,
it.
I was thinking, can you go leaf by leaf and just take off what you see and you're in the right direction?
That's the best way to control it, better than any chemical or anything else you can do. But you got to make sure that you take it pretty far away and burn it or, you know, wrap it in a black plastic trash bag and
throw it in your compost pile.
Don't throw it in your compost pile.
Okay. Because it'll just get right back on there.
Right. And they'll show a lot of the, with the fungal diseases, powdery and downy mildew, they'll show up. They live in the soil. So when the first shoots come up in the spring, they'll just attack those first shoots. And all the spores will go on that and try to grow on them. And the shoots look like little stunted, withery things. So
what can I spray on them?
Spikes. Don't spray anything. Just pluck them off and burn them. And then that's why they also do the early season pruning is when the first shoots come up, usually they'll prune all those off because those pretty much harbor those spores. And then once the year goes on and it gets hotter, they can't really survive. So especially keep an eye out early spring when they first come up.
So just good sanitation practices, basically, just as in making beer.
Or life.
Exactly. It's the fungus, yep.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Keeping them clean, putting the weeds away, yeah.
Yeah.
Paying attention.
Wash your hands, man.
I'm pretty sure I've got quite a bit of penicillin left from the last fungal thing I had. Would it help to put that in the soil, or that doesn't make a difference?
Probably not. Peeing on it would probably be even better.
It would be better.
Yeah. Have JP
not.
Over.
Depends, I suppose. All right,
sounds
what
like,
about,
sounds like it's a party.
What about pests?
Bugs.
Don't let your kids near
spider mites or, yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty common garden pests. Probably anybody listening is going to grow them in their garden pretty well. Garden pests, but the two big ones are spider mites and aphids.
Okay.
And those can be, soap is one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Spider mites, walk on them, hose them off. They'll just knock right off.
Just to hose them off?
Not, yeah, aphids, the best thing is ladybugs. Always ladybugs, and those are pretty easy. You can get them in a nursery for a few hours up to a day, get them all dormant and hungry, and then release them onto your hops, and they'll just go crazy on those aphids and take them all.
Oh, okay.
Sounds like you treat spider mites like you treat hippies. Hit them with a bunch of soap and hose them down.
I'm actually not good on this topic because I've never had to spray or do anything. So
what about the farmers?
This is all from what I read.
What about the farmers in Colorado that you're working with? They don't have any problems with these kind of pests getting on the plants there?
No, man, they're all mellow.
Because of the dry conditions?
We don't. I've had an aphid problem, and I've had a grasshopper problem, actually.
Okay.
But I wasn't there in time to catch it when in the early stages, but grasshoppers, you can put out bait, and that works fine.
Okay.
But I haven't had to really do anything.
Yeah, because I've always wondered about that with the organic hop fields coming up, because I know that, you know, I've heard about problems in the Pacific Northwest with aphids, mm-hmm. and different stuff like that, so they have to spray, and I'm just thinking,
right.
God, how do you do that on a large scale and keep these crops clean if you don't want to use pesticides, you know?
Well, even the aphids, I mean, once they're infested in the cones, there's no spraying or anything, right? You're pretty much...
You're pretty screwed.
Yeah. So it's
that's in your beer.
Right.
Oh, right.
If you have like a big basket full of hops and you throw in one that's full of aphids, I mean, you're screwed, right? It can spread that mold, right? Is that?
Yeah. Well, the aphids, they do shake out when you dry them. They do kind of shrivel up and dry, and they'll shake out. Like I've seen some on my screens before.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get them out, but the problem with aphids is that they secrete a honeydew, and that brings in mold. And even common bread mold will grow on that honeydew, and it'll turn your cones all brown. And
aphid secretion.
Brown cones.
It's terrible. Did Allie just tell me that there's a bunch of aphids in my beer?
She did.
You know,
I think she did, too.
Well, how many gravity points do you get off
aphid
an aphid?
Excrement.
Off an aphid honeydew.
Yeah, honeydew pale ale.
Oh, thanks for ruining my life, Allie. I have to think about bugs every time I drink a beer.
The thing about the organic in Pacific Northwest is that, there's thousands and thousands. I don't know if you've been up to the Yakima Valley, but thousands and thousands of acres of just hops. Everywhere, hops and dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And then a farmer tries to put in 6-10 acres of organic in the middle of his fields. Well, he's not spraying those areas, so all of the pests everywhere around are just flocking to that little oasis.
A place where they're not getting tromped.
Oh, organic,
yeah,
that's rough. Organic beer just lost my vote.
Like a safe haven.
But if you're starting off, if you're in your backyard, starting off pretty much anywhere outside of a major hop-producing area, it's really easy to do because it's really easy to control that small amount, and they're not in the middle of a huge monoculture. If you have other different kind of plants around it, flowers, anything, then you'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, nothing's going to cross-pollinate or anything weird like that. I mean, is there anything we need to stay away from in our backyard?
No.
Okay.
No. Cousin.
The refinery.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be a good idea.
Hops pollinated with daffodil flowers.
Yeah.
Daffodil hops.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. We can just plant it anywhere then. Okay, I got to move us along a little bit because we got a lot of other things to cover here, and I want to make sure that you can leave at a reasonable hour, Allie. Okay. So I think we've done a pretty good job of growing our hops now and taking care of them as best we can. How do we know when it's time to harvest?
Oh, that's a tricky question.
Okay.
That's a really hard question. And the most common thing that I did the first year, I cooked all my hops way too green, and the beer all turned out real grassy.
Okay.
Because I was so excited that I thought they were ready and they weren't. But
What kind of window do you have? You're talking about really green, and then I'm sure at the other end. So what kind
right,
of window?
Right, and at the other end, yeah, they get all oxidized and cheesy and skunky. And you definitely don't want that in your beer.
So, Bob, what kind of window are we having here? Like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 2 days?
Usually most varieties, it depends. Most varieties, at least, you have about a two-week window, at least.
Okay.
And also on the vine, they mature differently. So the ones on like three-quarters of the way up the vine, they'll mature first, or even the top of the vine, they'll mature first. So the bottom of the ones, they'll be pretty immature, even in like still in the early flowering stages. Well, you'll have very mature cones on the very top. And what brewers get is pretty much a mix of the both. So if you're growing your own, you can pick throughout a few weeks. You can just pick a few here and there of the very mature areas.
Oh, that's a good
Depending
idea.
Depending on how taller they are, the more spread you'll get, too. So,
okay.
So if we pick those, can we freeze them, or is that not good for the plant?
It is good.
It works.
Definitely want to dry them down pretty dry. Oh. And that's the probably number one mistake, too, is that you don't dry them quite all the way. And then you stick them in the fridge or freezer, and then they start molding. Or they get really musty, and it's nasty in beer. Trust me, I've ruined plenty of beer with musty hops.
Can you over-dry them?
You can. What you want is the lutealing glands that are pretty oily and resiny already, so it's not like you're going to ruin that aspect. But if you over-dry them, then the whole cone just shatters and falls apart, and then you lose all those glands, and you'll see it looks like little yellow pollen. So like my garage where I dried all my hops has little yellow pollen all over the place.
Okay.
So that's scoop just, that up.
You're just losing all the good stuff.
I see.
That's the good stuff. Those are the crystals.
Magic.
That's what you put in the vaporizer.
That's
the
cousin, I'm thinking.
Wrong plant. Let's back up just a second because I'm not sure that we answered the harvesting question, Allie. What are we looking for? So you say we've got this two-week window, and that you harvested yours too green. Well, what is it that we're looking for? How do I know when it's time?
They'll start producing the lutealing glands, the yellow sticky glands, and they'll be pretty aromatic at first. But when they're at ripe, prime picking time, they're very very pungent. Really really smell really good. The whole cone dries out and gets a lot feels really papery, and it also gets a little bit lighter in color. Pretty much the plant is sucking out the water from that cone when it's maturing.
Okay.
So, and a lot of sources say that the cone gets fluffier or opens up, but that's not true of a lot of varieties. Some of them get even denser or tighter. So it's honestly, it's by feel. I've tried to figure it out, tried to put a quantitative number on it, but
yeah.
So basically, we're going to screw it up the first time and just get over it.
Yeah.
Well, I'd recommend don't do what I do and just pick them all mid-August. Just pick some, leave some. Just try to figure out. Maybe leave some all the way and see how far you can go.
How about
the first sacrifice?
How about picking them? Clip them, pull them. What's the best way to get them off the vine?
Just pull them off. Pull them off with your hands. They'll pick off pretty easily.
Okay.
Best way to do it.
And is there a certain like stickiness to the cone that will kind of tell you that it's ready too?
Yeah, and it depends on variety too. Some varieties are real sticky, real high alpha, real high oil size, CTZ varieties. They're just super sticky. But some lower alpha, lower varieties, some like Willamette, they're not very sticky at all. They're actually really light and fluffy.
Tasty, is that true that some varieties are more sticky than others?
Some is very sticky.
It sounds like we have to go through our garden and squeeze cones.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
As long as it's your garden.
Yeah,
it's okay.
And my cones.
Because I was going to go over to your garden, Doc.
Don't be squeezing my cones.
Yeah. Is there a place, because you're talking about how it sounds very varietal to figure out when these hops are ready and what they're going to look like and what they're going to smell like and if they're dense and if they're not. Is there a place you know of, Allie, that we can go and look up this information? You know, so that if I've planted, say, Willamette and Cascade, there's a place that I could read about what they're supposed to smell and feel like?
There's definitely any of the hop companies, Hop Union, Yakima Chief, they all have descriptions of each of their varieties.
Okay.
Anyway, and even the USDA website has a description of hop varieties, and you can go on there, and they'll tell you when they mature, if they matured early or late, you got, like, how many oils, how many everything about them. And anywhere that you buy rhizomes, they usually come with a lot of information on that, too.
Okay. Cool. Okay, and I'll move us back forward now again to the drying of the hops and things like that. I had a question come through from a listener. And this listener says, you know, I've had some homebrew from brewers who make really great beer. And then I've had their beer that's made from homegrown hops, and it's usually not that good, is his opinion. So his question specifically was, is there a special drying process or something that the industry uses that captures those really good qualities of hops that us homebrewers aren't doing? I mean, are we not capturing all those good stuff?
Yeah, actually, a lot of the chemistry of hops, the flavor and aroma chemistry happens during drying, during the heating process. Pretty much cures all of those flavors, like the floral flavors and citrus flavors. So you can smell, a hop on the vine. It smells different than when it's dried, and it smells even more different when it's been in the beer.
Yeah.
So what they do typically is that they will kiln it at 140 degrees Fahrenheit and get it down to below 10% moisture. That's the key, is to get it down below 10% moisture so that when you're storing it, they don't get any kind of mustiness. And that's the most common problem that people have with growing their own hops.
Okay.
But
so
140 what's that?
Like, say you take an average hop cone, how long at 140 degrees F would you have to, like, have it be to...
Yeah, like 8 hours, 12 hours.
Get down to
10%,
be like a week or overnight, or what's the...
See, 140 degrees is actually pretty high.
So what would you dry them out at?
The lower is actually better. Probably 100 degrees would be just about right.
All right.
A lot of people would... You can dry them outside in screens. You also don't want to dry them in any kind of light, direct sunlight. You want to have them shaded because they'll start oxidizing.
So like artificial heat would be better than like sunlight.
Yeah. Like what I did, for example, is that I had an old futon frame and I bought some screen, just like window screen, and spread that over. I gathered all of the space heaters that I had, about three of them, all the fans, little house fans, and kind of made like a little hot room in my garage. And it never got above 90, but it was dry. There was air flowing.
Air movement.
I never.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, how long did it take for them to dry?
That took about a day.
Okay.
24 hours.
What was that carbon footprint like? Was it like Bigfoot or what?
Yeah. That's okay.
Big feeder
with all those fans.
Yeah. So would you recommend homebrewers really use their hops more for like wet hop? You know, wet hop beers, like put them in the last part of the boil? Or, you know what I mean? Like, how hard is it to get a good quality product when you're drying at home? I've only ever used mine as a wet hop, so I've never dried before.
I'd always recommend using wet hops. I mean, why not? You get to skip out on all the hard parts, for one.
Yeah,
and
sounds great.
And they taste so good.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to, you know, grow all the hops that you need for your entire year, then you definitely need to
store them and dry them well. And it starts this drying. I can't tell you, can't emphasize how much you need to get those below 10% moisture.
So can you measure the moisture reduction by, like, the weight? Like, for instance, if you weighed the freshly picked hops and then weighed the dried hops, you could, would that be a measure of the moisture content remaining?
Yeah, and I desiccate them down in a food dehydrator. A lot of people use food dehydrators. On, even when I thought that they were completely dry, they never were. So always, I'd say always try to over dry them.
Okay.
Good.
And you said that there's that good indicator. If all of a sudden you have a bunch of yellow pollen hanging out on the floor, you've gone too far, right? So you could, when you start to see
are
that,
you like,
are
you like scooping that up with a credit card?
Yeah.
Yeah. Her garage floor is a mirror.
What's he talking about?
Say hello to my boil kettle.
My lupulin glands are all over the place.
Yeah.
I have a question from the chat. Does it have to be hot? Shut up, JP. Does it have to be hot, or can you dry them over an air conditioning vent?
Oh, I see. Yeah.
What would be a heating vent?
They won't dry fast enough in air conditioning.
Okay. Yeah.
I've seen plans for multiple stacked racks that you just use a window screen, like stacked window screens.
Right. You can take all the screens off the house.
And blow an air up through them, hair dryer or whatever, to heat the air and blow it through that.
Yeah. Okay. That's perfect.
Why not put it in the oven?
Too much heat.
At 140?
Just leave it in your hot car.
I think my car gets 140.
I could see, especially like a month later, you get pulled over by the cops. All right, son.
Yeah.
Where's all the pot? I've been drying my hops.
I was listening to the show, and they told me to dry it in the car. Call Allie.
Come on, bro. Look, man. Come on. No, seriously. Come on.
Allie Ham, Colorado.
She told us how to grow this stuff.
Right.
Now, what about sanitation after you pick the hops and you're drying these out? I mean, is there anything that we need to do to protect, say, the hops? Or
Like squirt some of that hand.
I mean, is there anything, the way we handle it, that we have to be careful on, sanitation-wise?
You always have to be careful when you handle it, Jen.
Well, there are no human pathogens surviving beer, so beer will never kill you.
The beer part.
Those hops, and we all know how you use them, they're going to go straight into your beer, especially if you dry hop them.
Mm-hmm.
So the cleaner, obviously, the cleaner you can be, the better. I don't know. The way that they do it, last, they have people stepping all over them, or it's crapping on them. It's pretty dirty and messy.
Right.
How's that, Justin?
Don't tell us this.
Can I rub hand sanitizer all over my hops before I use them?
Will that boil them first?
Or the inside of your beer glass?
Will that be all right?
The number one thing, along with spraying pesticides or anything on your hops, you don't want any kind of chemicals on your hops because that can really affect your brewing process or your foam stability per se.
Right.
You spray insecticidal soaps the day before you harvest, well, you're going to kind of have some soap residue, and
good point.
That's not going to be good.
Yeah.
So you just kind of think, well, whatever you put on the cones is going to be in your beer, and what do you want in your beer? Is it going to be boiled off?
Yeah.
Or is it not?
Maybe my hops were retarded because I was out there spraying Lysol on them every day.
Rubbing them up the vines with hand sanitizer?
Yeah.
Did you walk around them five times clockwise too? Or?
They grew faster.
Be like, don't worry, guys. I'm just trying to keep you clean.
I had to cough four times and blink hard nine times, and then I did it twice.
We're taking organic to a whole other level.
That's right. All right. Okay.
Well, I'm interested in the drying of the hops because
the thing.
I don't have that many good wet hop beers. I mean, they're interesting because they're always like a bunch of them around a certain time of the year.
Yeah,
I'm not a big fan.
Harvest time.
Maybe I just can't develop a taste for it because I only get them like once a year.
Yeah,
but I'm not. They're okay. But
so you want to dry them?
I want to dry them so I can actually make them and make a beer and repeat the beer, make it again.
Well, it sounds to me, from Allie, like this sort of 100-degree range, and with some dry, moving air going around it for 24 hours, will get you right there.
Then we start storing them like we do the rest of our hops, nice cold or
freezing.
Frozen.
Right.
Yeah, right.
vacuum seal them, sure, probably, yeah, if you can, if you've got...
The are you flush them with nitrogen, yeah, or whatever, sure, you got?
Are you
don't
growing?
Any oxygen in there.
My what?
Are you growing?
Hops?
Yeah. Yes. Good.
Special hops. Special strain.
Yeah. I'll build you something so you can dry it. How's that?
There you go. Doc's
oh, well, we, you know, that's, maybe that's what we need is like a community dryer.
Yeah.
Well, I'll bring our harvest in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we'll do that. Yeah,
yeah, I'll bring some lentils over and we can all eat naan and the hippie. Allie
measure our
it.
Footprints.
Allie gets it.
Okay.
Come on.
Good, she did.
Commune. Never mind.
Here's some other questions I had from the listeners that I didn't fit in throughout the show. One of our listeners wants to know, he says, I got a question about the rhizomes. When we buy these rhizomes, can we store them in the fridge for a few weeks? Or is that too humid for the rhizomes? Maybe he could buy them now, but he can't plant for another few weeks or something.
You can. The longer you store them, the less chance that they'll actually survive.
Okay.
So I've stored rhizomes in the fridge for a few weeks and planted them, and they died.
Oh, okay.
They were already dead, but... that's
killer.
Because I think that they were already stored in the fridge at the warehouse before I got them for a few weeks.
Yeah,
so
it's their fault.
About
yeah.
How, well, it's got to figure what actually come out of the ground. So you can always ask, wherever you get your rhizomes, ask them, when were these dug up?
And, you know, and is there a
yeah, JP,
some kind of insurance policy you can get on these things?
Yeah.
No, plant six a hill and then
right.
Overplant. Okay.
Work.
We say clearly on
that's
the more beer.
Insurance policy.
We're hearing you there, Allie. Thanks for that.
We say clearly that these are living plants and
yeah.
We do inspect them when they come in, but we cannot guarantee that they will grow, so we recommend getting two varietals,
mm-hmm.
or two rhizomes per varietal.
Well, but
this is not Osh. We don't guarantee
six.
They're going to survive.
What?
That's true.
How much do they cost, Jipper?
It's not Home Depot. $4.99, I think they're up to now.
Okay.
So $5.
Yeah, see what they're doing to us, Allie? Can you, she goes, that's a little high, isn't
30
it?
Bucks, 30 bucks a hill,
high.
Baby.
Hey, she just adjusted her six number.
Send some extra to Arinda. We'll pick them up over there. Mike's house.
Right.
Yeah.
Here is another rhizome question from a listener, though. She says there are bigger rhizomes that you can purchase from Hop
Jumbo.
Union.
Everything's bigger.
Oh, like a
typical females.
She wants to.
It's not the size that matters.
Yeah. JP's so bitter. So she wants to know, are they just, are they older rhizomes? Will they produce
just
more hops quicker? Is it? Is it worth the purchase?
Pretty much all are underground lateral. They're pretty much like branches, but they're underground.
Yeah.
And they grow, they'll grow way out beyond 5 feet from the original crown of the plant. And each of those, they'll have nodes on them. So when they harvest the rhizomes, someone will come dig them up, and then they'll cut them in sections. And the way that they've been doing it recently, because of the whole hop shortage and whole craze of everybody growing hops, is they're cutting them in smaller and smaller and smaller sections.
Still charging us $4.
And so make sure the nodes are up.
$5.
$5.
Right, exactly. So what you want, what you're looking for, it's not even the size of the rhizome, it's how many nodes you have.
Yeah, the nodes.
And a node is basically... the part of the plant that is going to grow a shoot and root.
I've seen that question a few times. Which way do I plant it? Vertically?
Nodes up or nodes down?
But it's nodes pointing towards the sun.
Put them, you can put them vertically or put them horizontal.
Oh, horizontal.
That will, because that's how they're naturally growing, is that they're the horizontal underground branches, basically.
So they
run horizontal, and the node, from the node, one point will go up to be a shoot, one point will go down to be the root. And so when I say plant six rhizomes, well, if you get a rhizome that only has one or two nodes on it, you know, it's really the amount of nodes you want to put when you're planting, not so many of the rhizomes. So it's hard to tell. Depending on your source, you know, some people are putting rhizomes on the internet for $5 a rhizome, but that's only two nodes,
jerks.
And then they'll sell the jumbo that's five nodes.
Oh.
Where someone else might sell a rhizome that is five nodes. And not call it a jumbo. Okay.
So you should probably call ahead and see how many nodes you have.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it does sound like a good idea.
No, don't
do
that.
Like I do. Go to B3 and go through them all.
He's like, yeah. No, do not call.
No, do not. Please do not call and say, how many nodes do you have on
yeah.
this thing? Because not all retail shops can go back and spend the time looking.
Yeah,
not
I might pick up a lot of retail shops yeah. now.
Well, let me just ask you this, JP. If so I'm local to More Beer,
yeah,
obviously. If I go in there, am I allowed, as a customer,
yes.
I'm allowed to hand pick my rhizomes?
Yeah, you can look at my nodes.
Okay.
It's fine.
Yeah.
See, my doctor told me nodes
but,
are
you know,
thing.
You have to be supervised. You can't just be touching nodes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Actually,
there's
my
a hole that we
Arinda,
stick the node through.
My Arinda friend, he got his rhizomes from More Beer.
He did, okay.
Oh, okay.
Oh. See, I like your Arinda friend, Mike. He sounds like a good stand-up gentleman.
Yeah. He's not like Doc, all snooty and shit.
No. Actually, I don't even live in... I live above Moraga.
Yeah.
I'm so far above Arinda, I'm above Moraga.
I live in Moraga Hills.
Yes. I'm actually on Mount Olympus. Is my nickname for my house.
When are we going to get spinners on your Hummer, Doc? Speaking of classy Doc, I want to put spinners on there.
Yeah, well, the conference is coming to Oakland.
I wasn't going to mention that because of my carbon footprint.
Yeah, sorry. The cat's out of the bag.
Hey, you know what? The Prius has a bigger carbon footprint.
I've heard that. I read that.
Yes.
Okay, Allie, I think I've gone through our entire outline, so unless anybody here in the studio feels that we didn't cover anything, or if you have any special industry, you know, trade secrets that you feel we haven't covered, Allie, feel free to throw those out. Otherwise, I can let you go.
Or you
no.
can hang out.
Okay. Got you covered.
You know, I had a question about, you know, after the harvest and everything, and you're going into the wintertime, do these things just die off and come back in the spring? How does that work?
Yep. Exactly.
Okay.
They'll die off, and you'll get the vines will be really dead, and just cut those off.
We shouldn't just cut them off right after we harvest and just get it over with? We have to wait for them to die?
No, you should wait for them to die because actually they look like they're dying, the above ground part, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but they're actually just sucking down all of their nutrients and water and resources back down into their roots.
Okay.
So how would they know that these were anything else that was dying around this house?
Yeah. We're all life suckers around here.
All the plants are dying.
That's a good question, Chad. I actually had thought about that, too, about whether or not you're supposed to chop it or, yeah.
I just cut my dead vines last Saturday.
How do you have dead vines? Oh, from last year.
Yeah, that's my third.
His Christmas lights are still up.
Yeah, but I didn't even put them up. That's how lazy I was. But, I mean, they were still, like, dead around the trellis and everything.
I see. And you just went out and got it
just
all chopped
I'm like,
down.
I've watched enough Lost. I think I'll go out and do something.
Right.
And that was my 10-minute move around.
And then you went back for another episode of Lost.
Yeah, and then I got back in my
But you
lark.
Know what? Now it's daylight savings time. You're going to have to go outside a little more often.
Yeah,
not really. He just has to get heavier blinds.
Yeah. I'm trying to go for the powder look.
Yeah.
Without all the kid touching, though.
Okay, Allie, I really appreciate you spending time to teach us about how to grow hops today. Thank you very much.
Allie. Thank you.
Believe it or not, we learned something.
We did. And
yeah.
Good. I wish you luck in your non-student career now as
Thank
a hop
you.
Grower. Are you going to try to stick around in the beer industry?
Yeah, I'm going to stick around and do more hop research.
Yeah,
yeah, sure.
All right.
Ever coming back to California?
What's that?
Ever coming back to California?
I'm sure I will. My whole family's back there. I'm back there a few times a year.
Okay. Well, stop by and see us. You can come check out the hops that I've been peeing on all year, Chad's hops. And
check out
my
the pH and those.
Okay. What kind of dog do you have?
I have a Border Collie and Australian Shepherd.
All right. Noisy little fuckers.
Sounds like a dog you would have in Colorado, too. You know?
Yeah, yours is quiet, just smelly.
Yeah, mine are quiet, but they do stink, all three of them. Okay, Allie, thanks very much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Allie.
Yeah, seriously.
Right, thank you.
With you.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye-bye. There you go. Allie Hamm spending some time with us. She was great.
She
very
was
cool.
Fun, man. Yeah. She gets it.
Yeah.
She got the show.
She does get it. She's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's the whole deal. And lots of information about growing hops there. And we have done a hop growing show before, and you can look back at our shows and do that. But I think...
But not like this.
I think we covered a lot of details.
On broken ground.
Yeah. I, the way we've done it before was from a very professional grower's perspective, and I think Allie had a nice home grower touch to it. She was very homegrown. Yeah. Which Tasty likes.
Yeah.
I think she's got an article coming out in Zymergy, too.
I already read it.
Oh, yeah?
The next Zymergy.
I read it today.
Okay, there you go.
It just came out Saturday.
Oh, it's this one.
I'll hear her Saturday.
I saw it.
Why didn't you give her a plug while she was on the air, Doc?
Because Chad here kept quoting from her whole article.
From the article. Oh, really?
Much, yeah.
Oh, I haven't even seen
accidentally.
It.
Accidentally. Oh.
Yeah, you did. You must have. No.
Yes, you did! And you planted the tree, didn't you?
I thought it was coming out next.
No, it's just hitting our homes now.
Yeah, it's now hitting. It's hitting now.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Yeah,
just heard about it.
They get advanced copies in Moraga.
Yeah, wow.
Hand delivered by Ray Daniels himself.
Much sooner than Arinda.
Yeah,
you know what? I got Facebooked by a. Papazian, so I'm good.
He knows
I live in Moraga.
He's reached a new level.
Yeah, it always
does. That's a generic ping.
Oh, yeah, ping.
Yeah. All right, just a few things left to cover, but you're going to want to stick around. We're going to do our raffle, our more beer donation giveaway when we come back, giving away a Jamil-style Whirlpool chiller. Stick around to see if your name is drawn. Also, we got to give away some Belgian candy sugar, so a few things left to do. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters. Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Okay, so my double IPA has an ABV of 7.5 and a clarity of brilliant. So that's a plus 8. I pour it.
Sorry, looks like she found it unpalatable.
Ha!
Shut up, Doug.
My creek gets a plus 10 versus girls because it's a fruit beer.
You can't open the bottle, and she walks over to the guy with the Pinot Grigio.
This sucks!
Ugh, I hate it when Greg's the brewmaster.
What's this? Non-Alcoholics Anonymous?
Dude, get out of here! We're in the middle of a brew session!
Is that an actual beer?
Yeah, I crafted it. I don't really, use the dice anymore. I'm a 10th level beer nerd.
Are you a 10th level beer nerd? Have you ever been called upon to explain why it's named India Pale Ale? Do you burp Y Yeast 3522 and Crap Cascade? Then you're in good company at Northern Brewer. Northern Brewer has all your beer nerd needs, ingredients, equipment, and knowledge 24 hours a day at northernbrewer.com. Plus, fast, cheap shipping, only $7.99 for the contiguous USA. And check out Northern Brewer's huge selection of dorky beer kits, including the Tongue Splitter.
I've got Tri-Hop stuck in my braces.
And the Bourbon Barrel Porter.
Now on tap in the Mos Eisley Cantina.
Make 10th level at northernbrewer.com.
The Brewing Network brings together the winner of the Sam Adams Long Shot Competition and the most awarded homebrewer in history to do battle in the next chapter of the Jamil Show. Can you brew it? Every episode, Jamil Zainasheff and Mike McDowell lay their reputations on the line to brew your favorite commercial beer and put their results to the test. Perfect match or perfect drain pour. Tune in for the recipes, techniques, and interviews with the pros that answer the question, can you brew it? The Jamil Show, Can You Brew It? Airs every other Monday on the Brewing Network.
What's funny is brewers will say, yeah, I don't brew to stop. I'm brewing my own beer. And it's like a German Pilsner, but it's black.
Yeah, it's a short beer.
You know?
The home of live beer radio. TheBrewingNetwork.com. Because like beer, radio shouldn't suck. You're listening to The Session.
Okay, boys and girls, welcome back to the program. Got a few things to wrap up. Going to do our more beer donation giveaway, Jamil-style Whirlpool chiller. If you donated $5 or any increment thereof, then you got your name or names in the hat.
Shame.
If you're a recurring donator, you know, for even as little as $2 a month, then your name is in that hat automatically. And it's in there every month. You can post in the forum. I think that there's a thread under the Beer Radio forum about things that you guys would like to see raffled off each month.
I was going to say that. When we ask.
Yeah, we have. And there's a list of things in there I've been going through. We've done a couple of them. Of course, we did a conical first.
Yeah,
it's a good idea, Doc.
People wanted the keg system, so we gave away the keg system.
I thought we were leaving it up to Justin decide.
That would be a very dumb idea. We've given away the chiller.
More than you know.
We're doing that right now, or today anyway, just a few minutes.
Hey, how about a filtering setup? Wouldn't that be nice?
You're all about the filtering.
Well, then we'd have to
Did I say that?
No. Then we'd have to teach everybody
how to filter.
I'll give them my tip sheet.
Oh.
They'll know exactly how to do it.
Tasty filtering strips color and flavor.
You got tip sheets?
That's a bit more beer, too.
What?
Is it a two-sheet spread?
The two-sheet spread, yeah.
Tips.
Yes, I have tips.
I need a two-sheet spread. If you know
all right,
what I'm
we'll think of something.
We'll give away something next month. They're going to do it every month so you can go to the...
Wow.
You know, it's really for you guys, and More Beer has been generous enough to do it. So really, speak up if there's something that you want to see given away. And the idea is, and More Beer knows this, and that's that we need the support, but this is a way that you don't have to feel like you're just kind of tossing money at something that's abstract. You can possibly win something out of it. So if you've got ideas of things you want to win, then, you know, put them in the forum there and sign up to be a member because you get in there automatically. Somebody is going to get a free chiller today. All right, we've got this beer in front of us. It's a listener beer. Who sent it? Was all the information included in the bucket? It wasn't.
No. We had to ascertain everything about the bucket.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I think I have this information in an email, but I'm going to make a rule right now because it just gets very difficult. We've done this before where I've asked that you guys, you have to label every bottle that you send. You have to put your name on it. And the thing, we love being able to try and evaluate your beer, but when beer shows up that's faceless and nameless, there's nothing we can do about it except for taste it and tell somebody out there in the ether what their beer does or does not taste like.
Right. Guess that beer.
So please, I'm just saying, any other beer that comes through that's unlabeled, you know, we're not going to do it on the air. We're not going to talk about it. It may get drunk. It may get tasted.
We
want to be able to give more information, and if we don't know where it's even coming from.
Well, like we got a bottle of beer we're drinking, but there's no label on it. It says what it is. Is there a style or anything?
It's from Washington. Ross Roberts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's the return sender, but I don't know what the beer is.
Here's what I got. I do have an email from here. It's his name. Yeah, C.S. Roberts is his. So we'll just call him Roberts.
Where's Ross?
Says he forgot to print out the recipe and include it. Looks like maybe he sent me a link for it here. Not got a 404 error, so no link to his recipe or anything like that.
No bueno.
So, yeah, that's just so you guys know, this is the last time we're putting a beer on the air that doesn't have a name with it. You guys just put a label on the bottle, and then it helps us help you.
Flew us in.
Otherwise, we're just going to drink them outside.
Right, well, we could, as long as we're, like, got it in the glass.
Yeah, so at least we know whose it is. You got it in a glass, and...
strong scotch ale? Is that what it is?
Is that what you guys think it is?
I think so.
It's strong.
Yeah. Barley winey, Sean.
Yeah.
English barley wine.
Yeah.
English barley wine.
Yeah.
That's what I got.
Smells real sweet. I haven't tasted
it. Melanoidins to me seem like more like
melanoidins, a lot of alcohol.
Yeah, that's true.
Real sweet from the alcohol.
A little oxidized, right?
But you know, that's where I get the barley wine from.
Yeah. That's
I'm not getting blood off flavors or anything.
No.
It's
clean beer.
It's very spicy. It almost tastes like cinnamon or something is in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little spicy in the finish.
That could be whatever hopsy is, which we don't know. So
finish is dry enough, I think. Okay. Not like, you know, cloyingly sweet.
A little cheesy? Anyone getting oxidized hops?
I'm
getting a sherry kind of note to it. So it's
Are these homegrown hops, I wonder?
I don't know.
Is that him, Bebo?
Justin, chime in here.
All right, here we go. Good questions are going to be answered.
I think we got him on the line here.
Good.
Roberts, is that you, brother?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, what's happening?
I think we're a little chat lagged, but.
Oh, okay. No, we just started.
I forgot about how I didn't label it, and I'm a horrible person for that.
You are a horrible person. I hate you.
If you were here, we would have been beating you upon the head and face.
No, glad you're here. Now you can help us out. It'll make the evaluation worthwhile. So we've already tasted a little bit. I don't know if you were able to hear that, but what style of beer is it? We were guessing between strong Scotch ale and English barley wine.
Well, you know what. What's funny is I brewed it originally as a double rye PA.
Okay.
But it did turn out like an English barley wine, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's very sweet, like an English barley wine.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the hop, the bitterness to be the IPA. That's for sure.
Yeah. I didn't taste any.
And I don't have enough of the phenolics to be. Maybe that's where JP's getting the spiciness.
I think that's where I'm getting the spices.
Right.
At rye.
I was going to say rye, but I'm not getting enough of it to be like, who is rye?
No, yeah. Nor enough like malt to be a barley wine.
Oh yeah, yeah.
What happened to the hops?
It's my
Where'd
first
they go?
Brew.
Oh, it is.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, for your first brew, it's great.
Really?
Yeah, it's clean beer.
Yeah.
No, it's very clean.
Yeah, I went into it expecting it to be horrible, so when it was drinkable.
It's not horrible.
No, we're drinking it. It is drinkable.
That's how JP and I, by the way, go through life. Every day is going to be horrible, and it turns out not so bad.
Yeah, like tonight, I was like, I got to go over and see fucking Joe. Well, I hope it's going to be awful, and it was
not so
close to that. It was
but it wasn't awful.
No.
But no, this is actually pretty nice.
Did you? So. Is this a kit, or did you design the recipe?
Okay,
did you mess this up by yourself?
Heaven forgive me, I bought a Mr. Beer kit.
Uh-huh. Okay,
and
that's all right.
I took the can, the West Pale that comes with it.
Yeah.
And I added in this other recipe I found on the internet with, like, some steeped specialty grains, like some honey malt, some Wizen DME, some extra light LME, some Saaz. I put Simcoe pellets, Amarillo pellets, and Cascade whole hop.
Hodgepodge. You found some stuff. You threw it in there.
A little kitchen sink.
Oh, for sure.
Okay. Well, the hops disappeared somewhere.
Definitely.
And partly, I wonder maybe the condition of those hops and you know if they were good hops.
I bought them at Ace Hardware.
What?
Yeah, we have.
That's probably
a brewing store at our local Ace.
Where are you? Where do you live?
I live in Yakima.
You're in Yakima,
Yeah, which is I'm probably going to be excommunicated for using shitty hops.
Well, you made it sound to use enough hops, is what
exactly.
It's a little bit under-hopped, is what I'm thinking.
How old is this beer?
It's like just a couple weeks past the six 4 to 6 weeks for carbonating.
Yeah.
It's probably, I think I started brewing it originally in late December, early January.
Well, this is young as far as strong beers go.
And
definitely.
And on one side of it, yes, it's young for strong beers, but it's very young and not have enough hop characteristic to carry it through for the next 6 months.
Right. Yeah.
So
I messed up first off, I'm brewing it in my back room in the laundry room, and I'm putting it on a hot pad, on a heating pad, to keep it warm.
Okay.
And then I left it on while I work at a beer shop, and I left it on while I went to work. I forgot. And it got up to like 90 for probably a couple hours until I came back, cut it off, freaked out.
Of course.
And then I think I left it on the yeast bed for too long, too.
Okay. It's really
we call that beer abuse.
Yeah, but it's really not a bad beer. But for being, let's call it an English barley wine. And Justin said that there's not enough hops right now. And if you want to age this thing out another year, there's never going to be enough hops in another year.
Yeah.
So
it's just going to get sweeter and sweeter.
It's going to get sweeter and sweeter. So drink it all now.
I'm just trying to figure out.
I think it's pretty decent right now.
I'm just trying to figure out how a guy who lives in Yakima and works at a homebrew shop, a beer shop.
No, regular bottle shop.
Yeah,
bottle shop.
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
And I know the shop you're referring to, the Hometown Ace Hardware, right?
Yeah.
They're just starting to get into it because they're in there. They have all the hop connections, so I think they're starting a little homebrew side process because there isn't any. There's no homebrew shops in that area.
Okay.
So I think it's a great thing.
An hour and a half.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, well, let me ask you this. Now that you've done the Mr. Beer Kit version, which I think is actually fine, it's a cheaper way to figure out if you like brewing. Are you ready now did you enjoy yourself and you're ready to brew another beer?
Definitely.
Okay.
You waited too long, though, to say that.
Sorry. I already have.
Unbelievable.
I'm getting echo from the other room where I have it on the computer. I'm listening to myself.
No, you got to not listen to yourself. Yeah.
But, no.
Bad.
Oh, for sure. I actually already have a glass carboy, 2 5-gallon fermenters. I just don't have the area to clean all that equipment,
I see. Your wife won't let you use the kitchen?
I do use the kitchen. It's just like I'm in the utility sink, you know, just splashing all over myself, making a foolery.
Okay. Get out of the sink and put your carboy in there. And then... then you'll have room.
Yeah. You know, you can do it. You made an awesome first beer. I'll tell you that right now. You made an awesome first beer.
Yeah, this is a fine drinkable beer. I like it.
Yeah.
Great.
But don't think you need to age this at all.
This is drink them young.
No. I have two bottles left.
Oh, okay. So you've been enjoying it then. You're having a good
time. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I've been giving it
probably tonight.
Good.
Yeah. Okay. And I think I will.
For the most part, there's a lot of recipes on the internet, but just as many bad ones. I would stick to like the Brewing Network forum and a couple of other forums, Northern Brewer forum and More Beer forum, and get recipes for, you know, tried and true recipes from guys who've been doing it a long time that you have contact with. You know, there's a few collection sites that you can just read the recipes and they're just awful.
Oh, not to mention, of course, Brewing Classic
Stuff. We need to talk a little bit about your packaging.
Sure, think about books. Well, I don't know. Pickle Bucket's pretty red.
And I don't know him well enough to talk about his package.
Packaging, man. Tell people what you sent this in.
Yeah, what's on the inside that counts?
Tell us how you sent beer.
Okay. All right. So I took a 5-gallon pickle bucket from the sub shop I work at.
Oh, okay.
I scrubbed it out relatively well. I also work at FedEx, so I know how the packages are going to be
treated. How many jobs you got?
Yeah, Jesus. Where don't you work?
I have three jobs.
Three jobs.
It's like Jamaican.
That's what I've been counting up to, yeah.
Tree jobs, mom.
Yeah.
And so I put some cardboard in the bottom. I took my Mr. Beer plastic 1-liter bottle, put it in the center, and then surrounded it by the other four bottles, and then interwove bubble wrap, also interspersed with a ripped up copy of Celebrator Beer News.
And also,
and then I put a shirt on top.
Yeah, a flannel jacket type of a shirt that Sam will now be including in his wardrobe.
Yeah, he's
going to. Okay. No, he will not.
No, and why the, not? The whole thing smells like what?
Pickles.
Yeah. It's a pickle shirt.
You did not wash this out at all.
I did.
I think I found a pickle in the bottom.
Hey, so you know, Sam's going to be wearing this thing. It's flannel. It's green. And it smells
like pickles.
Like pickles.
Yeah. And Tasty goes, well, you could just take it home and wash it. And Sam goes, wash it? I like pickles.
Oh, I would consider it an honor.
You know, Sam's like Zoidberg from Futurama.
I hate pickles.
He's just a scavenger. Anything anyone, you know, find. Yeah. I don't want this. He's just there grabbing it.
Are you going to take that?
Yeah.
You going to take the bucket too, Sam, for something?
Yeah. Did everything survive?
Everything survived. It was a great.
He literally did say, "Why do I want to wash it? It smells like pickles."
We're having one of the commercial beers you sent us. What is? What are we drinking?
So,
what's just
the Brookside? Brookside beer.
I think it's immersion. I think it is. That's what that's what Beer Advocate has it listed.
That's what they'd like to say.
As far as the style,
Meriton.
I don't know. It's a really like
pale lager.
It's a little tiny brewery that brews only two beers. It's in an old mining town.
Roslyn Brewing Company.
Yeah, I really. What do you guys think of those?
Well, it's really well attenuated.
Yeah,
I don't know if you could pass the bottle down here. I can try some.
It's nicely malted.
What is it, it's dry.
You
got to
drink
lager.
Your first beer.
Very dry.
Don't tell
like
me what
lager.
I have to do. What I don't have to.
I wouldn't call it a Märzen, but
They don't. They just.
You know,
call
they can call
lager.
Anything.
Thank
they
you very much.
Yeah, they just call it a light lager, and the Roslyn's the dark lager. And you mix them together, and you get a Brooklyn, and it's delicious.
Oh.
What do they call the dark one, the light one?
Just a dark one.
The dark one?
I mean, it says on Beer Advocate again, Beer Advocate's just making shit up, and they just call it a dunkel.
I think it's called a mulatto, Doc.
I was hoping for a joke here, but he wasn't helping me.
I know.
All right, brother. Well, thank you for sending in the beer. Keep brewing because you did a good job. And
I like it.
The flannel on the pickle jar really capped it. It really did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jack is not from a dead hooker, is it?
No. Okay. My dad gave it to me.
Oh, all right.
And I didn't need it anymore. So
this is a really good.
You don't know where your dad got it though. It could be from a dead hooker.
Yeah. He outgrew it.
All right. Well, yeah. Sam will be enjoying
Sam's
it. You
smiling
can know
over there.
He was feeling chilly tonight. And,
that pickle jacket.
Now he's as snug as a bug in a rug.
Good. Well,
snug as a pickle in a bug.
Hopefully, pack it all in hops next time.
Okay. All right, brother. Thanks very much. Keep brewing.
Thank you.
Cheers. All right, there you go. That's Robert. So, yeah, if you want to send us beer, just shoot Chad an email, chad@thebrewingnetwork.com. He'll tell you where to send it, and just make sure you label all the bottles and everything with your each individual bottle, because if you want it put in the fridge and stored properly, it's getting taken out of the box and put among you know, a dozen other beers. So if you want us to be able to talk about it, put your name, what kind of beer, as much info as you can on each individual bottle.
Make it something special.
I'm putting myself out here, but
of course, more than happy to taste it.
I'm going to post a form to fill out on the web somewhere,
okay.
On the forum. Maybe even some
beers you want
on the homepage.
Oh, a bottle label.
So you can download it, print it off,
great.
Send it with your beer.
Beautiful. Chad's going to take care of that. He's all over it.
Sure he is.
All right, I like to see that. Okay, couple
so
things.
So we're done, right? So
gotta do some giveaways.
Right, we're out of here?
No, you wish.
Oh.
Giveaways.
Oh.
I got two different ones to do. We're going to do our raffle right now. I'm going to draw. Before we do that, I'm going to set up our Belgian candy sugar giveaway. Tonight's easy, but I am going to ask this, okay? For the Belgian candy sugar giveaway, I don't want the chat to answer the question in the chat. If you want to win Belgian candy sugar and you have the answer, then call in with the answer. That's the way this is going to work. If you've already won candy sugar and you know the answer and you're in the chat, shut your fingers and let other people be able to call in. Use the 888-401-BEER number, because we want to give away the Belgian candy sugar to somebody who hasn't tried it yet. And we want to make it fun and interesting, and we want people to you know, pay attention to the program. So we just do these things for a reason. So, you know, if you know the answer in the chat room, don't type it. All right, but go ahead and feel free to call in, 888-401-BEER. I'm going to give you the question right now. And if you know it, call us up. You're going to win yourself some Belgian candy sugar, courtesy of Belgian Candy Sugar, Inc. We did a nice evaluation of it last week. You guys all had some great beers come out with that. Okay, here is your question. The question is,
I got my phone ready.
Per today's program, what was the name of my tree, my favorite tree?
Ooh.
My Schumann Guano
That's a tough
tree.
One.
What was the name of my tree?
I've been working on this name thing.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to
You know it.
Don't type it in the association.
He just remembered yours, I think is what he's talking about.
Wait, so that would mean I care about you.
888-401-BEER. You're calling up Bevo. Just give her the name, and she will pass you through if you're the winner. All right, 888-401.
Tasty forgot.
What was the name of my? Does anybody in here remember it? Seriously,
yeah.
You guys all did.
Just the
JP and Sha. Oh, you did.
Yeah,
you did the association. Yeah. Nice.
I forgot to do the association.
I told you, Tasty. You got
to
associate.
You told me also. I'd be the biggest problem.
What's this association?
It's familiar, and I don't care.
Doc doesn't remember. Here's this will help everybody. Everybody has trouble when you meet people. You have trouble remembering their name, especially when you meet people. A lot of people quickly.
Yeah.
And in business, and
in beer drinking,
beer drinking, you go to these festivals. You see a lot of people all the time. So there is you are like 90% guaranteed to remember the person's name is if when they tell you their name, you make an association with something else in your life. So for example, if I meet another Mike, I'm going to go, one of my very good friend's name is Mike. Or I might say, my father's name is Mike. So when the next time I see that person, the human brain remembers faces very, very well. But our short-term memory sucks. It lasts for about 2.5 minutes. But we can remember faces very well. So you look at the person's face, I would go, my dad's name is Mike. Hi, Mike. It's nice to see you. The problem is, I'll tell you, it will work for you. I promise you it'll work for you. The problem is remembering to do it. And especially if you're meeting four people in a group, because you don't want to be rude and you quickly want to go hi, and you don't make an association with any of them, and 2.5 minutes later your short-term memory is filled with something else, you've forgotten everybody's name. So try it. And I'm being serious here. I know this isn't beer conversation, but try it. If you have trouble remembering a person's name, just take a second. And nobody minds. If someone shakes my hand and they look at me in the face for a minute and they're really just, and I can tell they're just trying to really meet me, no one's going to be offended or think that's weird. So just give it a second. Try to make an association. It could be anything. Oh, my dog's name was Charlie. Right. I had a best friend in school. Whatever the association is, it'll work. Yeah.
So what's this association thing?
Kate's friend who was here last week, the tall guy, and he wanted to start brewing.
Yeah.
Tommy.
Did you make a the Who association with him?
No, he looks like Tommy Lee.
Ah, okay.
He's a tall...
From the waist down.
He's,
whoa!
He's a tall rocker-looking dude.
Uh-huh.
A little scary.
Yeah.
And you know what? And it just set on me.
Yeah.
It really did.
It'll work for you guys every time. And look, you might be sitting there thinking this is a stupid bit or something, but I'm going to help you out here.
Really,
and
not.
If you pay attention to me, it really will help. Like I said,
it's
going to
help with the chicks too, Doc.
The biggest problem is remembering to do it.
If you can say something about them that you like about them, like, yeah.
Nice,
I like
wart.
I like your tie. Yes. I like nice wart.
Nice wart.
Is that your real hair?
Yeah.
Something like that. It really does help.
Okay.
Did you hear Bevo moan when Doc said Tommy Lee? She goes,
No, it was when you said something about the waist down, and I just went,
Yeah, you went,
and I shook my head at you because you're retarded.
So it wasn't a Tommy's Giant Schlong moan?
No, not at all.
No.
It's too bad for Tommy, I guess.
Sam made a Tommy's Giant Schlong moan.
Oh, God!
Ow.
Oh!
Ow!
Not this again.
Pickles.
Hey, you can't bring...
Where's my pickle shirt?
You can't bring him down tonight. He's got the pickle shirt.
He is walking on sunshine.
Look, there's nothing you can say to him to bring his day
then
down.
And I also have the pickle shirt.
All right, Jason from Dallas is on the line. He thinks he has the right answer to the name of my tree.
Yeah.
Jason, what is the answer?
It was Rudolph.
It was Rudolph. Congratulations.
Not Joshua.
Why was it Rudolph? And what kind of tree was it?
And why did you name it Joshua?
What?
These are three questions we need the answer to, please.
I don't remember why it was Rudolph. A lot of times I just name things because that's what they ask me to name them.
Was it you being cool and witty?
Nope.
No, not if it was Rudolph.
No, that would be ridiculous and unheard of.
Drunk and stupid.
It might have been drunk and stupid, but...
You know what, tree?
Why was it not?
You're Rudolph.
I am the name whisperer. And sometimes I hover my name, my hands over things, and they tell me what their name is. I'm the name whisperer.
Yes, he is.
Holy shit.
Right?
He's given more people names than I can even
imagine. That's where I got my name.
How do you think Tasty got his name? How do you think Sam the Asshole got his name?
Terrence the Black.
Terrence the Black.
Big Tim.
Well, those are just three obvious ones.
Right.
We got Miguel.
Bevo. I gave Bevo her name. That's true as well.
Country Doc.
Actually, I gave Bevo several names.
You have given me several names.
You're just a whole plethora of names.
No. Can you give me... I don't have a name.
Jipper.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. Yeah. See? I am the name whisperer.
Well, why wasn't it Joshua Tree?
That may be the gayest thing I've ever said.
Why was it not Joshua Tree?
Because it wasn't a Joshua Tree.
Joshua.
It was
Like it could have been named, hey, Joshua.
You're right. That's not what it told me its name was. All right. Jason, I'm sorry for dragging you through this terrible conversation.
Oh, that's okay. Don't worry about it. Oh, not me.
No.
The other guy.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
But I am going to send you some Belgian candy sugar. Just give me your name and address to Justin@thebrewingnetwork.com. It'll ship this week, brother.
And actually, let us know what happens after you're done brewing it.
Yeah. We always want a full report if you can let us know how it turns out.
Yeah, we'd love to hear.
Send y'all the beer.
All right, good. All right, thanks, brother.
All right, thank y'all.
Later. Okay, good job. Now, that's a person who was paying attention, because that was just some random part in the show. Did they play nice, Bevo, and not type the answer into the chat room?
They typed fake answers.
No, they did. Nice. Very good. Thank you for doing that, guys. I appreciate it. It just
JP
makes the game a little more fair.
J-P-E-E.
Yeah, that's pretty good, actually.
J-Urinate.
Shoo-poo.
Yeah, Shoo-poo.
Shoo-poo. What a good name. That's the name of my next tree. Shoo-poo.
Lawrence.
So kill Rudolph.
Yeah. Lawrence.
Lawrence.
Did they type that in there?
Yes.
That's a good name for a tree, actually. I think humans should name his bonsai tree Lawrence.
Rudy.
Yeah.
Rudy Cleveland.
The bonsai tree. Are you guys ready to give away...
R-O-O-T-Y.
An immersion chiller?
Sure.
Should we announce... Should we announce what's next?
Can we show Bevo how it works?
What's next? We don't know what's next.
You want to see how it works?
Why is Bevo wearing a sweater now? What's to do with that? Is
it, I got cold.
Oh. Because she's the ice princess.
You guys are all assholes, so.
It's a chiller.
Bevo, would you please grab the bucket...
Package of... Oh.
Dun, dun, dun.
The bucket O names. I want to make sure that we can see the bucket O name. Yeah. I'm going to do a little bit of filming here.
Stand up first.
Scope in on that.
Stand up and shake the bucket. And shake the bucket real hard.
Right, I'm taking a little video for you guys.
Jump up and down.
I'll put it up on the blog for you so you can
see. Cut out some of that dress.
That's good. All right, Bevo. You don't have to... don't let them make you dance like a monkey. Okay. So Bevo has the...
Not there for the bucket.
No. Just like
there you go.
It's the official BN raffle, man. And we've got all the names for this month's BN raffle in there.
Oh, that's where JP's beard is.
Okay. Bevo, shake it up. Make sure that it's well stirred.
Up and down.
Just don't.
You prude.
Thanks a lot, Doc.
Yeah. Well,
you ruined it.
You ruined it for everybody.
All right. Get your hand in there and make sure it's all well and stirred up. All right. Now, we're going to draw one name. We're going to give away, courtesy of Beer, Beer, and More Beer, a Jamil-style immersion whirlpool chiller. Okay. Go ahead without looking
up
inside.
Don't look. Just put your hand in there.
Pull out.
You'll be able to see on the video that she's looking away. She's got a single name in her hand.
That's a good thing.
Hang on, please. We're going to find out the winner in just a moment.
Geraldo. Geraldo.
Matt Earl.
Matt Earl is
all right,
ladies and gentlemen. Yay. All right. Congratulations to Matt Earl, the new proud owner of a Jamil-style immersion whirlpool chiller.
Those courtesy things are fantastic.
Of Beer, Beer, and More Beer over at morebeer.com. We do these every month, so we'll get another one out for you next month.
Yeah. Hey, the Raffle Man has quite the beard.
I know. Raffle Man's got a nice... Nice look to him.
Nice broom going there.
Yeah.
JP, you used to have a nice look like that. Now you look like a librarian.
Looks like.
Well, you know, the Raffleman's more useful than I am, so.
That's true.
Yeah, summer's coming
and
up.
And funnier.
And funnier and better looking.
More
and,
creative.
Yeah, and befriended more. And
goes out. He gets out more.
And included in more. And,
doesn't
yeah.
talk back.
Yeah. Yeah.
His beard is less gross.
Wow.
It is less gross.
But his your mustache is better, JP.
Do you have a church to go to?
So of all those things, I mean, you've got that mustache licked.
Raffleman has more flair. Mm-hmm. A lot more flair.
I got that.
He has nicer eyes. Raffleman has nicer eyes.
He has a better ass.
How does she know all about that?
Hey, Sam, I'm going to fucking punch your wife in the face.
Whoa.
And Sam doesn't. He's like, really? So am I.
He wants the video. So you can play it over and over.
Oh, boy.
They make a snuff film with your wife.
Oh. You feeling better now, Tasty? You not so angry?
Oh, I am so happy. I came an angry man, and I'm going to leave a happy man.
You are?
Oh, yeah. This has been great.
You're leaving?
No, when I do leave.
When I do leave, I'll be happy.
Yeah. So happy. I got some construction to do.
Tonight yet?
Yeah.
How did you turn the, something about Tasty into what Doc has to do? Well, how does that happen?
We're not leaving. We're not leaving.
That's how.
That happened.
No, and he's not leaving either.
So, Mike, tell me about you. Well, I have construction to do.
Is anybody drinking out
he
there?
He says, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving.
Oh, do we want to try? We'll do a drink of the week,
we have any,
I guess.
Oh, yeah, drinkers out there?
All in, yeah.
All right, we'll do a quick drunk of the week. 888-401-BEER.
JP, are you leaving right away like usual?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Think you're going to hang out here?
Maybe that's what I was getting at.
I don't know why you wouldn't want to hang out here.
Maybe you'd have friends if you hung out a little bit.
No.
You know, we could find
you're probably right.
No, I wouldn't. Yeah,
I've tried to hang out and don't have friends.
We could buy you some.
No, that's all right.
Really? I'm up for it.
I appreciate it.
No problem.
You're going to cry yourself to sleep tonight, aren't you, JP?
No, he'll go home and hang out with his cats. They're his friends.
Huh. Cats are my friends.
Oh, man.
They gloved a paper towel. Yeah.
Twice.
They're double-sided.
Twice. Oh.
I figure it's quilted for a reason.
Yeah.
It's the quicker picker-upper.
Heavy-duty quicker picker-upper.
Just don't pick up that
maximum absorption.
Pick up that cat.
Me and the brawny man, we know where it's at.
Do you look at the picture of the brawny man while you're doing your paper towel action?
Hey, yeah. I wonder if his flannel smells like pickles. Well, now.
I wonder if his pickle smells like pickles.
Ouch.
JP and the brawny man. Like it.
It's a nice thing.
Cleaning up spills under 6 ounces.
A little half organic.
You could donate your paper towels.
Do you stop at a certain
to the bank?
Point?
Yeah. No, I keep going.
Have you ever donated sperm, JP?
No.
I think you should.
I think there's a...
No, because...
Didn't we talk about there being a criteria that you have to meet to donate your sperm?
I don't know if there is, though.
I don't know. No, there has to be. I mean, you can't be a degenerate.
I think there is now.
Not be pale white.
I think there is now.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just, it's weird. Like, you know, going into a room where a bunch, countless other dudes have been to pound it.
Yeah.
And then to pick up the porn that countless other dudes have touched to pound it without washing their hands or doing anything.
No, they switch it out every time.
Oh, no.
They can't throw away the new copy of Swank.
Well, my neighbor was telling me he had to do that. He's like the second marriage and he had to go through this kind of thing. And he went into, excuse me, Arinda.
Uh-huh.
Actually, the first, they don't donate in Concord.
Yeah.
Actually, Arinda was the cool place.
Okay.
They have chicks with, like, diamond dildos in there.
The first place was, like, somewhere in Oakland or something like that. And he had the Nurse Ratched at first. Oh, yeah, you got to go in there. It gives him, like, this cup.
Yeah.
And he's walking down the hall where she goes, there's no porn in there.
Oh. Yeah, because all the people stole it.
Take a mental picture.
Yeah, so, yeah, so Lizzie's like, okay, great. Because that it didn't work out so well. So the second round, he went to Arinda.
Uh-huh.
And we have this, we have this, we have this.
Right.
They got...
Do you have to select in front of them?
I don't know. I don't think so.
You know, because that's
like a wine,
list.
Yeah, I'm this kind of man.
Well, I think I'm just saying, if she's standing right there and you got to be...
what do you suggest?
Yeah, I'll take giant black chicks with tiny...
We have this and there.
Shelton ponies.
Yeah.
If you like, you know, print form, you want video, we have this and we have this. Okay, yeah. Good.
It's a paddle list.
Thank you, Aunt B. I will be back in a minute with your...
Did you go in the room? See, you know when to run if you go in the room and there's a floor drain.
Not really.
All right, I think we have a drunk of the week call. I got Milo on the line. Milo, what's up?
Oh, good.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's happening?
Milo,
talking
nice
about
hearing from
sperm.
You.
Keeping it real.
Milo's winning awards.
I was going to call you the other day.
Hey, he's winning awards.
Yeah? For what?
Yeah, thanks, man.
Congratulations.
I got a couple of awards from the Arizona Beer Fest.
And that, look, that counts.
Couple, like, two golds?
Oh, great.
I got two golds.
Oh, I guess I saw some of that, yeah. Two golds.
And a bronze, yeah.
Okay.
So,
that's great.
Some donation money to the BN as per brew engineer.
Okay, good.
Thank you, and congratulations, then.
Yeah. That's a good pattern.
I'm actually calling for a retroactive drunk of the week. I was actually drunk of the week last year, last week. Talked to Bevo, but you guys had already jumped on that first guy.
You were too drunk to call in.
And broke my arm.
Oh, really? You, like, that night you broke your arm?
Yeah, I was brewing, had a brew session.
You were trying to dial.
Drinking a bunch of beer, you know, and then I pulled out, like, my kid's Razor scooter, shot down the driveway.
Good idea.
That's just stupid.
Oh,
my God.
Nice work.
Oh, yeah, it is pretty much like you're drunk of the week.
There wasn't a pull involved.
I actually handled six Razor scooters this weekend, and I did not get on any of them.
Smart guy, Doc.
That is a smart guy. How did your wife take that, Milo?
Head shoelaces.
You know,
good
lots
move.
Of disgust.
Yeah.
Lots of disgust.
I have to figure out how to do everything with my left hand now.
How about everything?
Does your job require you to use both hands? Labor or anything?
Yeah, I'm a software developer, so I got to type.
And you're right-handed?
How about at home? At home, do you have to do everything one hand?
Especially now, his wife's all pissed off. Yeah,
yeah, I know what Doc's getting at.
He's not taking the bait. Huh,
talking about masturbating.
We've never... Thank you.
Milo-baiting.
Timely, too. I like that.
We've never given away a retroactive drunk of the week.
But I don't think we should.
This is a pretty compelling case.
I don't think we should.
Well, let's see if we take it. Let's see if we get any other real drunks of the week.
I'd like to see the radiograph, just to tell.
Well, Doc doesn't believe you.
Can you post the...
Doc just wants to compare it to his foot. That's all he wants to do.
Well, hang in there, Milo. Let's see if we get another call.
All right, guys.
Cheers, brother.
Nice hearing from you.
I want a couple questions for you. I wanted to know, are you going to give any updates on BNA4, like details about the party and such?
I am. I was talking about it a little bit earlier when we had Gary Glass on. It is on Wednesday the 17th.
And so far, you're still invited.
12:30 departure.
12:30 departure from the Oakland downtown Marriott, dropped off at our anniversary party, which begins at 7 p.m. at Linden Street Brewery. So really, the only thing, you can plan your trip around all that. It will happen. The only thing you're missing is what's going to be on that bus tour that we take, and then maybe some of the festivities at the party. But the whole thing is planned around that time. So you can pencil that in. You can book a ticket. Whatever you got to do.
Excellent. I'll be there. I'm probably going to come Tuesday, so I can hit the Russian River and Czech Republic, you know, because the tour is not going to go anywhere near those, right?
It looks like we're going to be... We don't know, actually. We're going to go as far as it looks like Marin, for sure. I think Marin Brewing Company is all but done. There is a possibility we get up to Lagunitas, but we're not sure yet. Any farther than that, no. So if you want to do Russian River and some of those, yeah, it's not going to be on our tour.
Yeah. All right. Well, I look forward to seeing you guys and hanging out and drinking some beer.
Right on, brother. It sounds good. Thanks very much for the call.
Later, Milo.
All right, later on.
Cheers. All right, 888-401-BEER. We'll see if anybody competes with that in the next minute or two when we get out of here. Am I missing anything? Don't forget that we're off next week. Going to be at the Kona Beer Festival. I'll bring you back some video.
We? Got a mouse in your pocket?
Him and my clubs.
I didn't say we're going to Kona. I said we're off next week. So if you want to be here, Doc, and not be in the we're off, and you're more than welcome.
Honey, we're doing some... We're going to Kona, huh?
Is this Kona thing going to be Mike White getting a golf lesson from you again? Is that the deal?
Well, there will be golf. There's some sort of charity golf tournament on Friday. And, I may have to school Mike
White. Can I fly in for the 12-hour thing?
You're ruthless. Once again,
yeah.
You fly back out?
Sure, why not? I'm happy to tell Karen there's a show that day. I don't know how to answer that. You're not back because of the time difference. You won't be back till like Monday morning. No, that's not true. You can do the Saturday. Saturday's the fest. We leave there Sunday night. Yeah. Don't get back till Monday morning. But Doc, if you want to jump on a plane, man, come on, buddy.
Yeah,
let's make it happen.
Tell them we did the show outside. That'll explain the sunburn.
Yeah, even though it's raining in Pacheco.
No, it's daylight savings time. We get more sunshine in Pacheco right
there
now.
There you go.
Why so many flowered shirts? I don't get it.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
A smile on your face.
Hey, you let me know. I'll make it happen, Doc. Just let me know. So there will be no show, but I will bring you back as much content as I can. Just pay attention to BN Army blog, which I've been trying to put a lot more content up there lately. So you can check it all out. You can sign up for our Facebook. You'll get updates and different things there.
I am getting inundated with Facebook.
I haven't gotten a friend request from you yet.
I know.
What is this, a standoff?
Oh, no.
It's a Pacheco standoff.
I'm trying to keep my email backlog down a little bit, and it's not happening.
Because I'm so popular.
But I'm getting a lot of that one. So don't feel bad if I haven't logged you on yet. So
I haven't logged you.
I just haven't.
Okay. All right.
Got to get back to that.
Okay. Is this another drunk of the week caller? Got her blobber gleeby gloopy gloppy?
Oh, great.
Is he calling in for DOTW?
I think so, yeah.
What else does blobber gleeby gloopy gloppy call
I think he's
going
to complain about something that I might have done.
All right, Blobby, what's happening,
brother? Better not.
No, something that I forgot to do.
What's the word, man?
Forgot to do what?
I'm a man.
I forgot to tell him about the Radiohead.
Where's my Radiohead?
Oh, I did get the message. No,
I did give it to you.
Yeah, she passed along the message. No, I can't play copywritten music, man.
Blupper Gleepy's wife is real mad at that.
I wish I could. I'd play Radiohead all show, every show if I could, brother. But no, it's copyrighted, you know.
Written. Oh, okay. In the chat room, Meister says he's going to be at BNA 4.
Yeah?
Meister of Puppets.
How? He's not even close to being able to... have fun there.
Yeah, but remember we told him that if he would wear whatever outfit we give him, then...
Make sure it's a pink jumpsuit.
With lunch meat flag on the back.
No, it's got to be that...
Did you know about your that other shirt, the other show shirt from Baloo?
Uh-huh.
It's supposed to come my way.
Oh,
is that being passed around like the ash hat?
Oh, that's disgusting.
I hope so.
That is awesome.
Are you a big fat load too, Blobber?
Yes.
No, I'm a short skinny load.
Oh. You're gonna get that.
So I'm gonna try and fit the whole family inside that shirt and take a picture.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That would be so great.
We're gonna have this great collection of other show pictures, man. That is great.
Oh yeah, it doesn't fit Blue, believe me, it doesn't fit me.
Well, so back to Meister for a second. I think I can make it happen at the Linden Street thing because they do some family type of parties there. It's not a bar.
Well, as long as he's not drinking.
Yeah, he can't drink, but if he wears whatever outfit we give him, I think I'll hold up my part of the bargain and I'll let him into that. But he can't be on the bus tour. I can't get him into that, and there's nothing I can do about NHC. That's not my decision. But for the BNA 4, the official party, if he wears what we give him, he's in.
Yeah.
Well, good. We got to start.
Especially a pink junk suit. That would be awesome.
Junk.
Pink junk suit would be even better.
Yeah.
Or a bunny outfit.
Junk suit.
It's got to be a junk suit of some kind. You can be sure.
The Barat skinny thing.
Oh man, we got to start designing this.
Telling you, pink jumpsuit with a lunch meat lug on the back.
Okay.
Yeah, that's winner.
With a lot of room
for junk. Or a pink onesie with a lunch meat logo on the back.
Dude, you can get adult sized footy pajamas.
Yeah, that's what I mean by a onesie.
I have some.
Yeah.
You would.
I have blue ones.
Yeah.
With the buttons and the hole in the back.
Too. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. I'm not talking. Yeah, I'm not talking like the minor underwear. Like the actual footy pajamas with the zip up front.
Oh yeah.
My kids were wearing them
with the.
I'd like to have those. And my wife got me these footy pajamas. They zip up in the front.
Yeah.
A little itchy on the inside.
Watch your junk.
Oh yeah.
Okay. I think I'll. Okay. I'm going for drunk of the week.
You are. Yeah. You want to tell us what you've had then?
Yeah.
Rodenbach Grand Cru.
Mm-hmm.
And Homebrew IPA. Good pronunciation.
It sounds like a Frenchie.
Homebrew IPA. Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah, nice. Because it is Rodenbach Grand Cru.
No, he must be from French Canadian.
The Grand Cru.
Yes, I am from Quebec.
Okay.
Yeah. Quebec.
What else?
Me and Chant.
Whoa.
And I've been having Barbancourt rum from Haiti.
Oh, uh-huh.
Oh, rum.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Scotch whiskey. Wow. It's a lot of stuff.
Oh, is that why you asked me earlier, whiskey or rum?
No Labatt.
Exactly.
Yeah. No Labatt.
That was to get me started, Bevo.
How tall
are
you?
I can do my part.
Blobber.
I'm 5 foot nine.
5'9"? Oh, you're not short, are you? What's your size?
No, I'm not short.
I'm just skinny.
Just skinny.
Oh, wait, how much do you weigh?
Skinny.
5'9" and what?
130.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Soaking wet.
You're slim.
Wow.
I don't weigh 130.
That's like skinnier than Sam.
That's like skinnier than my shithead husband.
Who's right over there in case you couldn't smell the shit.
Yeah, in case you didn't know that's what that sounded like, Bevo. That's what that sounded like.
That's just so skinny.
It smells like pickles.
Sam's new nickname is Sam the Shithead?
Sam the Shithead.
Sam the Pickle Man.
Sam the Pickle Man.
Just follow your nose to the smell of complete and utter failure.
Poor Sam's in the back yelling, "Don't talk about me like I'm not in the room."
Now you know how Terrence feels.
I'm here.
I'm here.
Did you hear that?
This is how much more arguments go.
All right, Blobber, your entry is noted. Thank you.
Thank you.
Later. First time you heard that one.
Okay. Well, so
be noted.
Now we've got
my cheeks hurt.
We've got Blobber entered into the competition, and then we've got our retro.
Retro Milo.
Which is still, pending whether or not he's
debatable.
Entered. You know, we'll
debatable.
Have to.
That's what Bevo says.
Okay.
But you're entered.
You opening up new beers there, Shaddy?
Yeah.
Talk into the microphone.
Iron Horse Black IPA.
No.
Between you and Doc, how long have you been doing this show that you can't remember to talk into a microphone?
I didn't say anything that I wanted everybody to hear.
Everything you say in this studio.
Oh, fine.
Hey, Bevo, when you don't want anybody else to hear it, do this. Good.
I'd like to nominate Doc for Drunk of the Week.
So far, he does sound drunker than it. But Doc starts sounding drunk after two beers.
Yes,
doesn't mean he's drunk. We'll see how he handles the construction he's got to do in the room. He falls
tonight?
Off that ladder.
We're doing low voltage tonight.
So. I didn't get the track lighting though.
I noticed that.
But because I figure I want to paint that ceiling before we put a fixture up there, so I can't. We can't
install
it.
I really would have liked to know
that
it worked, but I got the low voltage stuff. So we're gonna run the stuff with these big speakers tonight.
As much as I enjoy HGTV,
what is that?
Home and Garden.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
JP knew. He just didn't want to speak up. He didn't want to out himself. Home and Garden, stupid.
Everybody
knows
that. Someone
is crawling in the attic tonight.
Tonight?
Sammy.
No.
Sam the Pickle Man.
He'll probably just fail.
He'll go right through your ceiling.
Can you crawl, baby?
All right, so no more calls. They're coming through rather slowly, apparently. So it's either going to go to Blobber Gleeby Glooby Glooby Glop Glop, or it's going to go retroactive to Broken Armed Milo. I will. I'll let the studio vote.
I really need to see the radiographs.
Yeah, we want to see the.
You don't believe? You think he's? Come on, he's Brewer's Code.
I just want to see how bad the break.
One bone, two bones. Which one?
I mean, either way, it's a drunken broken bone.
Yeah,
I love Milo, but if I see a Blobber Glop with the family photo in that shirt,
right,
and he makes it into a Christmas card next year,
oh.
My vote's with him.
Yeah, it stays with him.
See, it's getting closer and closer to the point where we need to be doing a BN Christmas calendar.
I think
again?
So. Yeah.
With less than her photos.
Wood on the phone? Photos. I believe
Christmas in July.
The spouse of Kimberly.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. And he wants to sing Hot Nuts to nominate himself.
Okay, uh-oh. Well, that definitely will put somebody in the running. Yeah. Wood, hello.
My favorite song.
Hello.
How are you, brother?
Oh.
I'm fine. How are you?
We're doing just fine. And you've been drinking tonight?
Of course.
Okay.
Sunday.
Right.
A little.
Do you work on Mondays, Wood?
Doc.
What?
I still love Doc.
Thank you.
Do you work on Mondays?
Sure.
You do. Okay. You sound sober. What have you been consuming tonight?
I've been enjoying some Pliny the Elder in bottles.
Okay.
Bottles.
I've enjoyed some Blind Pig in bottles.
Bottles. Nice.
Okay.
Homebrew IPA. In keg.
Okay.
And that's about it.
All right, let's hear your rendition of Hot Nuts. Is that going to be your entry into tonight's Drunk of the Week?
Sure is.
Okay, the floor is yours.
Thank you. I'm going to sing this kind of 40s style as a woman.
All right, even
better.
How
you dress the part?
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
All right, you're in drag. Okay.
Okay, here we go. Hot Nuts by Wood. Selling nuts! Hot nuts! Anybody here wanna buy my nuts? Selling nuts, hot nuts. I've got nuts for sale. Send 1 for $5, 2 for $10. If you buy 'em once, you're gonna buy 'em again. Selling nuts, hot nuts. You buy 'em from the peanut man.
Okay. Wow.
How good was that?
That was pretty impressive.
Wow.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're drunk and black. Yeah.
And old.
Yeah.
And someone, JP got an email from my wife actually with the topless. Oh, I'm not supposed to say. Oh,
you
no,
got a topless
sorry.
Email from Wood's wife?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I saw it.
You want to share?
No.
Why is your wife sending topless photos to Jipper?
He asked. I'm not supposed to talk about it, but secretly here, I'm in the other room. She won't hear now.
Okay.
Just whispering.
He asked her to send a topless photo with her Drunk of the Week medal that she, quote unquote, didn't win.
I see.
To him, and so she sent one in, and you know he asked for it, and he got it.
Wow! Apparently, all you got to do is ask
nice.
If you're JP.
No, eating his beer.
It's pretty hot too. So
nice.
Okay.
Yeah, wow. It's there.
See, the thing
so,
is that JP has the courage to ask. I've sent JP pictures before, and you're like, how come you don't send those to us?
Yeah, JP asks.
JP asks.
He's just creepy enough to ask. That's the problem.
Exactly.
I just feel dirty asking that.
She wouldn't send me a lock of her hair.
Because
so.
You would be.
So she settled for the tit shot.
She might send you a lock from her chest hair.
Hey, so. Never asked me.
Wow.
Well, there's a reason.
Okay, good. I would.
Okay, so, well, thank you, Wood. We're now going to judge on who the Drunk of the Week is. Thanks, my brother.
Word to your mother, and have a great evening.
All right, you too.
Maybe wood to your mother.
Can the other guy sing? We should have a like an American Idol off.
It's an American Idol off, yeah.
Beer drinking
be a performance
idol.
Thing.
Let them back in the running if they
sing a tune?
Compete. It could take a while. Why don't we just vote?
It could take way too long.
Yeah.
But it's a good idea.
I do like the idea. We should maybe some week, you know, at the beginning of the show, just announce, okay, tonight's Drunk of the Week is going to be performance-based. You should all start practicing whatever song. Like the Tasty song, for example. That might be a good one for people to have to...
Let's hear it.
That would be a good Drunk of the Week competition, I think, to have to sing the Tasty song.
I think that would be good. Yeah. To see who could actually sing.
Well, I think we should have a show next Sunday.
Or incoherently, because it is Drunk of the Week.
Yeah.
Right.
Me, Doc, Numbnuts, and Tasty.
Yeah. What about Chad?
Oh, and Chad.
Don't call me.
Okay.
That wasn't Numbnuts? Oh.
I think we should just do a just a drunk of the week hour.
Oh, boy.
That's all it is.
It's a train wreck.
I know.
One hour.
Just
that's
1 hour of drunk of the week.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And we get, like, hammered beforehand.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That'll be great.
Sam laughing in the back. Great idea. Woo!
No, Sam's pickles! Sam's sitting in your spot.
Sam running
Sam's
the board.
Running the board. Everyone's all like this.
All right, it's time to vote on our drunks of the week. Our first entry was Milo from Arizona, who's calling in for a retroactive drunk of the week for breaking his arm on his kid's razor after a drunken brew schedule. Our second entry is Blobber Gleeby Glooby Glooby Globby Glop, calling from French Canada. Who is, yes, and 5'9", 100 and nothing, but he's had himself quite a bit of rum and whiskey and beer tonight. Our third entry is Wood from the Sacramento area, I believe, who's been consuming a bunch of Pliny the Elder and Blind Pig IPA from the bottles, as he noted, and also sang one of the BN's favorites, Hot Nuts, in the form of an old black woman.
You want to see the picture that they sent me?
Yeah.
There you go, ready?
This topless photo? Heck yeah, I do. What in the hell is that?
Yeah, that's Wood's wife being funny.
Is that Wood's?
Can I say?
Is that Wood's?
I have a feeling that's Wood's chest.
Hairy chest?
Yeah.
It's the metal on a chest, all right. But,
it is.
But,
not what I was looking for.
Mrs. Wood's got a lot of... She got more hair than the beard JP trimmed this week.
She took the picture, I think.
I got
like
light,
looks
I got,
like a butt plug.
I got lightheaded for that.
Semantically, it could be correct. She gave you what you asked for. If you asked her to take a picture of a metal, of her metal on a chest.
I'm glad they had a macro lens. Because it's very macro.
Yeah,
where the metal fell south.
So, those are your three. I'm going to ask you here in the studio to raise your hands for each.
Oh, raise your hands.
Vote. So, here's where we go. Remember, we've got Milo, the retro, Blobber.
Blobber.
The short, the tall, skinny guy, and
Blobber.
Wood. Raise your hand here in the studio if your vote is for Milo, the retroactive winner.
We can't discuss why.
Two.
So close on that.
Discuss why you're voting?
Yeah, why not? I don't know.
You can't. Well, maybe at the end,
okay.
Before I give the official tally.
Okay.
Whatever. Okay. I don't know. We'll see. Okay, now please raise your hand if Blobber Gleeby Glooby Glop is your vote for Drunk of the Week.
Sammy?
You Beavis? Can't vote twice,
you can't
Beavis.
Can't vote twice, Beavis.
Retard.
I'm like Switzerland. I want everybody to win.
You can't be like Switzerland.
Yeah, don't be neutral.
Then don't vote at all.
Would you like to switch your vote?
No.
Okay.
He broke his arm. Come on.
So no votes came through for Blobber, I'll have you know, Blobber.
I would have voted for you.
You poor kid.
If you could vote for everybody.
If you could vote twice, you
actually did.
Your kids are going to be pussies, Bevo, because you're going to be, no, you did win. You won because you tried. And you're a winner, and because Jesus loves you.
Everybody's a winner.
In God's eyes, everybody has already won a trip into heaven.
Unless your name is JP.
You're a winner because your family loves you.
Yeah. And you're healthy? Well, you have that club foot, but for the most part, you're healthy.
Well, you've got that cleft palate, but other than those things...
Thank you, Mother! Can I have some more corn?
I live...
Yes, dear.
I live right next to a refinery. I'm going to have conjoined triplets.
You're going to have as much corn as you want.
Thank you! Daddy feeds me corn, and it tastes real good!
And then it's Sam. You're a loser!
Oh, thank you!
But I got the pickle jacket.
I ain't handing down my pickle jacket to a loser.
Oh, Mom. You guys aren't allowed to hang out with my kids. You'll hurt their feelings.
Okay, and please raise your hand if you're voting for Wood in the studio.
I always vote for Wood.
Beavis! Did you not vote, Tasty, or you did vote?
No, I voted.
I haven't voted.
I voted for Milo.
Number one.
Beavis and I, when she first voted.
I'll just vote.
You didn't vote at all until now, right?
No, because none of them are convincing.
I did not see the broken
You
got to
vote for one.
They all three sounded completely stone sober.
I did not see the broken arm, but somebody's going to
I'll vote
to
for Wood.
Okay. Okay, then that makes my vote irrelevant. I didn't need to vote. That's 4 votes for Wood, 2 for Milo, none for Blobber. Wood is the winner of Drink of the Week.
All right, way to go.
But you're really, all winners.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Okay. Oh, man.
I bet Doc doesn't tell his kids are all winners if they lose a game.
No.
Yeah, suck it up, kid.
Tell them to get out there and practice, you little shithead.
Oh. You're sleeping with the goats again.
Daddy, why'd we lose? Because you suck.
Well, first of all, we didn't lose. You lost.
Yeah.
What are you in my car on the way home?
Get out and walk.
Because this happens.
Get out and push. I'm trying to save my carbon footprint, you little turd.
Look, you would have caught that. Your team wouldn't
have lost. You didn't say that to them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
either way, I win because I'm hitting on the middle.
That's right.
Daddy, I hate it.
That's done every day.
We always lose. Well, if you would have played a little harder.
And do they cry then?
When they start to cry, I pull it back.
That's your measure. Yeah. That's when
there's no I in team.
Oh, man.
Except when you lose.
No, oh, we lost again. The first thing I'm out is because you suck.
There is no I in team.
And they actually are they're pretty immune to it now, so they just go, Daddy.
Daddy. Oh, Daddy. Yeah. You don't think we suck.
There is no I in team, but when you lose, there's a you in team.
Really, you really suck.
Okay.
I don't guilt it anymore.
There's a you in team. You get it?
I love it. Do I need to take that phone call?
No.
That was Bebo's fan club calling again.
That was Blob for Glop. He just wanted you to know that he's not sober.
Okay.
And I tried to convince him that I voted for him, but I voted for everybody, so that doesn't really count.
He was just not unsober. Yeah.
You really got around tonight, Bebo, voting for everybody.
You think that's who she got Sam?
She was just going for anybody,
and Sam just
everybody.
Asked?
She voted for everybody. Yeah.
That's true. She did say, well, you just had to ask. Sam finally asked.
All right.
What do you think about me?
I can play the piano. I can't read well, but I can play the piano.
We do not sound like that. What's wrong with you guys?
No. That's what we hear when you talk.
Yeah, you do.
Oh. The two of you.
I hope a shark eats you.
I love you.
Sam, when are you going to come in and do the dishes?
Sam, we have to go home.
I don't want to go home.
I'm sorry that I have a real job.
That's what I was going to say next. One of us has to work, you know.
I take your shit.
I'm waiting for a house to come falling on JP.
I work. I teach music lessons.
Woo! All right, everybody. Thanks very much for tuning in. Thank you to Allie Hamm for spending a bunch of time with us today talking to us about Hop. And thank you to Katie Wallace, the sustainability specialist at New Belgium. We appreciate that as well. She was very nice. Everyone,
both wonderful.
Everyone was nice today except for Tasty. He was the only
guy. That was nice. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't know.
Tasty was the nicest person to me.
No, he wasn't.
Well, you don't count.
Yeah,
well, your face doesn't count, and your parents didn't love you.
Oh!
Still.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Pay attention to the blog. You're going to get a bunch of updates from the Kona Festival and different things.
Get those beers in this week.
Golf
World
scores.
Cup of Beer.
And the Drug of the Week Hour. Sent none.
All right, later, kids.
See you soon.
Belgium grew at a time, and the women think the lamb is fine. But don't you give me that American crude, boy, they want a real homebrew. Homebrew, don't you really love a better homebrew? Can't get enough of it. Homebrew, it blows my